much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
And that's the story. There's nothing strange nor mysterious about menstruation. All life is built on cycles. And the menstrual cycle is one normal and natural part of nature's eternal plan for passing on the gift of life.
I'll never forget what my grandmother said right before she passed away, what she said to me right before she passed away. She said, "What are you doing?"
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
You're on the air right now. You're on.
What it is this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I just found out I have Asperger syndrome.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh my God! They killed Kenny!
Roll another one.
This is just a holy car!
Just like the other one.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration.
This seems to be about to quit.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott?
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
He's like the gayest person I've ever met.
Roll. Roll another one.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Just like the other. I don't have another cent.
I'm gonna cut off your skin and wear it as a coat.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Is there really a more clear way to describe white pants?
I know
nothing about nothing.
And now,
I would think, you know, for $80, just the tip.
Our feature presentation.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Sounds reasonable to me, too.
Why is Kevin here? Oh, this is so sad.
Why did he hear you?
This is a live broadcast. He got here about 45 seconds ago, Lisa.
Sounds about
I
right.
I could not find my hotel. I slept in the studio.
No, I couldn't find this place. I was downstairs at the Hard Rock, and I was looking around. I couldn't. There was no sign that said where this particular place was.
Uh-huh.
So I was walking up stairways and knocking on rooms.
Yeah, and everyone else found it rather easily.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird.
Well, I got here a little late.
They probably took that sign down that was out there. That big sign.
Right, after the rest of us got in. Right.
So how's San Diego? How's the whale's vagina, everybody?
You're a dick.
What?
Why am I a dick?
Because I'm just saying, we all had a nice dinner last night. The
right.
whole crew got together. We had a nice meal. And I was like,
was nice.
Where's Bean? We rarely get a chance
to
hang
you
anymore.
Asked where's Bean.
That
didn't happen. I know
absolutely
that
asked where's Bean. I said, I thought Bean was going to be here by now. And they said, oh, yeah, he's here. He just refuses to eat with us.
Well, I wouldn't put it in those strong terms that I refuse to eat. It's just,
oh, they said, do you want to come eat? And you said no. That, I think by definition, that is you refusing to eat with us.
It's really more of a declining rather than I am refusing.
We don't travel much together anymore. And so everybody was in the same place at the same time. And it was kind of cool. We all sat down, had a meal, had a lot of laughs. And I thought Bean was in town. They said, oh, yeah, he's here. He just doesn't want to eat with us.
I had plans. The King and I were going to go get something to eat last night.
Right. And King was there, by the way. Dave was there with me. And Kevin was there. And Christine was there.
No, I understand.
Did it upset you that your plan didn't go through?
First of all, I'm very...
Did you need some sweet alone time with Dave? Was that the problem?
As you know, I like to have a plan. You know me. I like things to be in order.
Same plan. Eating and Dave. We're both involved last night.
Yeah, but then you start throwing in some variables. Now you got all these people.
Here's what happened. Dave called him. And he said, hey, we're about to have dinner. And Bean said, oh, okay. Right?
Yes.
Is that correct so far?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so Bean was in for dinner.
I was in. I was looking forward to dinner. I was hungry.
At that second.
He's on his way.
Yeah. Then Bean said, who's there? And then Dave said, oh, it was about five or six of us.
Too many people.
I think there was like seven, by the way. And that just is.
Yeah,
blew
well,
my
that's
mind.
Way better than five mind. Or six.
What
I just, I'm not,
is wrong with you?
I'm not comfortable in large crowds.
That's not
He's
true.
Not a large
you have
crowd.
Radio, your radio lunch. How many people yeah, go to your radio right. lunch?
Yeah, the radio roundtables. How many people there?
I don't know. It's usually a pretty small. It's a small group.
Like six?
But I don't know. It just seemed like
six is preferable.
If you don't mind my saying, eight people is not a large
that's
group.
A large
eight
group.
People that you work with and know.
No, yeah, these aren't strangers.
That's
these
Woodstock 99, man.
Eight
people.
Know.
That's like that's a mosh pit.
Look,
is what
you're
that
being
is.
Funny, but seriously.
I'm not. I'm just telling you. I just was. I gave me the creepy crawlies. I was just like, now we're talking about a big table and lots of people. And I don't know. I just, I didn't. It left this
what's
creepy.
What's wrong with you?
I'm
damaged.
I don't think anything's wrong with me. I just
you're wrong.
Looking for something low-key and romantic. With my Mexican, that's all. So how was dinner, guys?
Anyway,
I Mike,
was,
you
I
care.
Was, I was offended and F
you. You weren't saying. Offended.
I was.
You were delighted.
I'm
fact,
Ralph. Delighted.
I know Ralph.
I'm with Ralph.
And if Ralph said, where's
I'm
Bean?
I'm offended and F you.
If Ralph said, where's Bean? That was so that he knew that the answer was going to be no before he accepted the invitation to
I
sit
was
down.
Already, I was already in the midst of dinner when I asked that question.
No, you are absolutely incorrect.
I did walk down to the Starbucks in the hotel and had a cup of coffee for dinner. So I did take
all right.
Did take care of that. So that was
yeah.
That was as good, right?
Bean knows how to party.
But were there other people in the Starbucks?
No.
I'm surprised you were able to get in there.
They were closing down. I was the last customer in. Right. Only guy in there, only guy out. It was pretty easy.
I look forward to spending more alone time in a coffin.
Look at the people in the room right now.
Yeah, this, look. You okay?
I don't have any choice. I'd prefer some of them would move on out.
Another couple of people. We ate dinner. Eight people.
That seems like too many. I'm just saying.
Eight people that you know relatively well.
Comic-Con 2012 is happening. We are live in San Diego. We are at the place that only Kevin can't find. But if you're on the way down here, please stop by and say hello to us. We're at the Hard Rock Hotel. What's this room called? Is this the Movies on Demand Lounge? Is that where
it
we're
is
at?
The Movies on Demand Lounge, yes.
This is fantastic because they have Movies on Demand wallpaper. I didn't realize I could see the Three Stooges and John Carter on demand. I didn't realize both of those were available to me.
I bet there's more demand for some than others when it comes to the movies in this, in this room.
It's not all the same demand.
No. I mean, any of them are available on demand, but I think there's more demand for, let's say, Underworld Awakening.
Yes, I think
then
so.
Than there may be for Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Walking by the convention center in San Diego, there are already people in line, and I guess they have been in line since last night for some of the more popular panels today.
They've been in line a couple days ago for some of the panels.
What's up before, with that?
Like Tuesday, before things even got started.
And the only way you get to move up in line is if somebody ahead of you gets hit by a car? That's how it works?
Yes, someone has to die.
Somebody has to die, then you move up one spot.
Yeah. I'm just impressed with the dedication.
As I said last night, I'm team crosswalk when it comes to the Twilight panel people.
I mean, how early do you have to get up to not only put on your Stormtrooper outfit, but then to also get down to the convention center and get into line?
2 days ago is the answer.
It's insane.
People are passionate, and that's what makes this the best event of the year, is that not only are you in the center of the pop culture universe because all the TV networks and all the major motion picture studios bring their wares down here to try to get buzz and attention for their products, but the people who show up are passionate about everything that is Comic-Con. All the
passionate, bordering on crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
Bordering on fanaticism.
Well, it's too many people. I know that.
Ugh. God's sake.
Wow. Too crowded for my taste.
Just put your brain in a jar and be done with it.
Seriously. That's the ultimate goal, right?
Oh, yeah. He wants to just be able to plug in.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean
show. He's a poster of Steve on his wall saying, oh, God, I wish I was that guy. I wish I could talk through a computer and just not have to move.
That's the best. That dude never has to walk. He's so lucky.
We have Seth Green coming in the studio today.
Yeah.
How about that? Talking about Robot Chicken, we have Rob Corddry on the program.
Doesn't it seem like Seth Green should be doing more in his life than Robot Chicken? Not that that's not a great show, and not that it doesn't take up a fair amount of his time, but he's enormously talented, a great actor, yet it doesn't seem like he does anything else anymore.
He does a ton of stuff.
What else
he had
he
that
doing?
Reality show that he was doing.
What reality show?
He's got
the people moved here from some of the... Remember the
Titan Maximus? He's got another animated series that he does for...
I need more effort from Seth Green.
He writes, he directs. He directs a bunch of stuff on the internet, a lot of projects.
Get on
Osama
it, Seth.
Franklin, Ben and Bash.
There you go, Franklin and Bash.
All right. Franklin Men and Bash?
You know.
Never heard of that one.
Boy, Lisa's drunk too. What's going on here?
We also have Robert Kirkman, by the way, in the studio.
Are you sure it's Kirkman?
I'm positive.
All right, I'm just asking.
Positive, because I ran the chorus last night.
That's right, you were running from zombies
with
the guy who invented Walking Dead.
I figured
it doesn't get more Comic-Con than that, my friend.
I figured if I was going to be safe with anybody, it would be Robert Kirkman. They're not going to do anything to him. So we got that coming up as well. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are all live in San Diego for Comic-Con.
It is finally Friday. Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Before I get to Showbiz news, however, I would like to give away some passes, since we are in the Comic-Con spirit of things, to The Dark Knight Rises. This is the movie that everyone's been waiting for all summer long. It's in theaters everywhere Friday on July the 20th. However, if you're lucky enough to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you will get a pair of passes to see it on Wednesday, July the 18th, at our special K-Rock Advance screening. The Dark Knight Rises, of course, stars Christian Bale in his final appearance as the Caped Crusader.
How long till they reboot the Batman franchise, do you think?
I'm guessing they will recast the role and debut him in the new Justice League movie that they're going to make in a couple years. And then they'll start a brand new franchise of Batman films.
How about that?
Yeah.
Batman is forever.
He is forever. He's now and forever. He's like Cats.
Which was canceled.
Oh, that's right. If you'd like to go, here's my trivia question. You got to know some stuff about Batman. And, of course, in this film, we get Catwoman as one of the main villains, played by the lovely... Jane Hathaway. No, not Jane Hathaway.
You almost got
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Lisa!
And, of course, Tom Hardy as Bane, the legendary Batman villain Bane. Here's my trivia question regarding Bane. What fictional Caribbean republic is Bane from? In the comics, of course, he is famously from a Caribbean nation. I need the name of that. 1-800-520-1067. Call in now. Give Chip the answer. First three callers who get through with that number will get a pair of passes. Well, sadly, it looks like Bill Murray isn't looking to crash at your house this summer. There was a...
I was so looking forward to that.
There was a story on the internet this week that said Bill Murray was planning to party crash his way across the United States this summer. He was going to show up at people's homes and at people's parties. He was going to crash and then sleep on their couches and see if he could get across the nation that way. Story was covered in a website called superofficialnews.com. We should have known there was a problem then.
Why? It sounds super official.
Yeah, you would think it's super official, but it turns out it's not. The story references his agent, and Bill doesn't have one. And the phone number included in the story that you're supposed to call if you'd like to extend an invitation to Bill as he sleeps his way on people's couches across the country, is actually the number to the Westboro Baptist Church. The God hates fags people. So that's how we know it's a hoax. But everyone had their hopes up. People were putting signs in their windows saying, Bill, you can sleep here.
And, you know what's funny is he's one of the few people in this country who you would go, you know, he would do that.
I think that's what it was based on, is the few stories like where he went in and started singing karaoke with those people, right. Just kind of joined them and stuff. That's where that came
from. I think this was a situation where people saw it and they just refused to even put their hoax antenna up because they so desperately wanted it to be true, because we all want to believe in Bill Murray.
And I want him to come and stay at my house.
Of course.
Jessica Biel's in the news. I'm going to have to talk about this story with her when I'm hanging out with her later today.
You're hanging out with Jessica Biel?
Yeah. Aww. Jessica Biel and I will be hanging out on the panel for Total Recall later today.
She'll probably bring me up.
We'll be chatting.
You might have to downplay that.
I can't imagine that would happen, Kevin.
Well, you might have to downplay that. Just be ready, I'm saying.
You think she's going to bring you up?
Well, I'm just saying probably.
Fiance of Justin Timberlake is going to ask me about you.
Most likely.
It's awkward when Kevin comes to Comic-Con or any large gathering because there are so many of his exes running around. You know, yeah. So many hot chicks he's banged and then never called again.
I just want you to be prepared. That's all, Ralph. I'm trying to help you.
I think you should probably be preoccupied talking to me and Kate Beckinsale, who's also on the Total Recall panel. The three of us will be hanging backstage, probably sharing a magnum of champagne and some caviar.
That's insane that they're both in that movie, by the way.
Well, look, that's how I roll.
That's an embarrassment of riches right there.
Jessica is talking about her diet and workout regime because Dave says she has Dwight Howard shoulders.
Stupid Dave.
We got into a large argument over dinner last night, which you would have heard, Bean, had you been there, where Dave, the King of Mexico, said Jessica Biel had shoulders like Dwight Howard.
Well, she's so unattractive. You can see why Dave could pick her apart.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No.
Oh, I would kill Jessica Biel and step on the body to get to Kate Beckinsale.
We were having that conversation. That's an impossible choice to make because they're both amazing.
No, not for me. Dwight Howard shoulders. Anyway, here's how she gets that body. Yoga, swimming, and she says a clean diet. This is what she eats on a regular basis. Vegetables, quinoa, which is like a just a horrible, just like grain, just pasty grain, just horrible, just gruel. My wife eats it. It's hideous. Probiotics and green tea. That's all she eats.
That's sucky.
That's horrific.
That sounds like it's a
prison
torture
food.
Prison diet at Abu Ghraib or something.
Yes. The only sweet she allows herself, anything with cake or anything like that, has to be made out of beets and zucchini. Oh, ugh. God. I don't care how good she looks. It's not worth it.
What would she have to do to not have Dwight Howard shoulders?
That would be really something.
Miley Cyrus has yet another piece of body art. She got a new tattoo this week. It's her 13th tattoo, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, 13 pieces of body art. The new one is a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt. I kid you not. It's on her left forearm, and it reads, "So that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat."
That didn't happen.
That is on
she
her
didn't
body.
Get that put
that
on her
is
body.
A sentence.
Really?
Yes. Apparently, President Roosevelt uttered those words in a speech in Paris on April 23rd, 1910.
And how does that mean anything to her?
I have no idea.
Huh.
But that's weird.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. It's a waste of ink, in my opinion.
Wow.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, before we do, let's go to my trivia question. Do we have a winner?
Yes, yeah. We sure do. We're going to go line five. It's going to be Alex joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Alex.
Alex?
Yep.
What is the fictional Caribbean home country of the villain Bane?
It's Santa Prisa.
Santa Prisa, indeed. Congratulations, sir. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you are going to our very special advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises.
Right on.
Thank you to Renee and Carl, also calling, also winning their tickets for Batman as well.
Congratulations for bringing back Right On.
Right On.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, this is an appropriate Comic-Con birthday. Patrick Stewart.
There you
Captain
go.
Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise. He is 72 years old today. Harrison Ford, another spaceman. Han Solo himself turned 70. He is 70 years old.
Wow.
Cheech.
And a bad 70.
And a bad 70. Cheech of Cheech and Chong is 66 years old. Tom Kenny, who does the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, turns 50 years old today. Will Champion, drummer of Coldplay, turns 34. And happy 68th birthday to Erno Rubik. Name sound familiar?
No.
That's right. He invented the Rubik's Cube. Well done, Kevin.
Hate that guy.
You love him.
How long would you have thought about it, Kevin, before you would have come up with that? His last name is Rubik.
I don't know if you guys could tell, but I stopped thinking about that when I said no, because I don't care.
You ever heard the old joke? What goes, click, do I have it yet? Click, do I have it yet?
No.
Click, do I have it yet? Stevie Wonder doing the Rubik's Cube. I'm Ralph Garman. I watch this show.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show live from San Diego today for Comic-Con.
K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, destination number 2, grand prize drawing coming up for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. One lucky listener who already won Epicenter tickets is going to get his or her choice to go see STP, Bush, Deftones, Scars on Broadway, or more anywhere in the United States. Grand prize drawing coming up. Wait to hear what we have for you for destination number 3. That'll be announced on Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The phrase lucky listener when it comes to the Kevin and Bean Show is an absolute oxymoron.
Roland, what are you doing
you
here?
What are you doing here? That's why I'm here to ask you that question. What are you doing
here? We're broadcasting from San Diego for Comic-Con.
You're welcome to the city of San Diego. You are not welcome to Comic-Con.
Is that right?
This is not for you.
Roland, I thought...
I repeatedly must always phone into your program to correct you because you do not represent the sci-fi fantasy comic book community properly, and now yet here you are trying to monopolize and monetize us.
What about the fact that you should be happy that the geeks win, that the whole world is nothing but comic books now?
That's right.
This
so
is what
we
you've
do
wanted.
Not need your attention, sir. Good day, sir. You may leave now.
This is the Comic-Con.
You are superfluous and unnecessary. We do not need your promotion any longer. You may leave. Goodbye to you, sir.
Isn't the Comic-Con for
You're
everybody?
Still here.
We're not leaving. I mean, we're all set up here. It would take us a long time to head back, so I think we'll stay.
I think you won't.
Look, Roland, isn't Comic-Con for everybody now?
No.
When hundreds of thousands of people now show up, and it's the cover of major mainstream magazines, it's bigger than you and Daniel in the basement.
There's way too many people here.
That's true.
And most of them are hardcore comic book fantasy and sci-fi fans. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard enough to accommodate them.
Right.
But you two are taking up precious oxygen from someone who could actually appreciate Detective Comics number 27.
We're
Action
very
Comics
big fans
one.
Of Detective Comics you number 27.
When did it
that's
come out?
That's Bean's favorite.
When
that
did it come out?
1964?
No, sir.
78?
You may both go now.
81? That's the one where that guy wore that costume.
May 1939, first appearance of Batman.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Detective Comics number 27.
Hey, did they ever make a
thank you. Next.
Did they ever make a movie about the Avengers? Did that ever happen?
We're just
covering.
I wish you the fate of a Twilight person running across the road.
Oh. Wow.
That's what I wish for you.
That's inappropriate.
Have you at least seen any of the panels? Did you go to any of the panels yesterday?
Well, I didn't go to the Twilight one, no.
Twilight panel. 28 cast members on stage for the Twilight panel. 28 of them.
I didn't go to that because
Kristen
they were
Stewart, Rob Pattinson, Taylor Lautner.
Right, but they were waiting for like 3-4 days overnight.
They showed
for
the first 7 minutes of the movie. Twihards were ecstatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much so, some of them forgot to feed their cats.
Didn't see that.
You're making fun of somebody else's sci-fi
obsession. Twilight's ridiculous.
Twilight's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. The fans of Twilight are just ridiculous.
What about all you and your crazy Trek fans, though?
Oh, did you see the Lone Ranger panel?
No.
Johnny Depp wasn't there. That was a disappointment. But some great footage from Disney, along with Oz the Great and Powerful and Frank and Weenie. That's what they showed.
Wow, they got a lot going on.
Yeah, it was amazing. Disney. Did you see the Expendables 2 panel?
No.
Well, we didn't. Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, and Terry Crews.
We saw the hall that it was in from a distance. We didn't really get inside to ask any pertinent questions.
Hey, Roland, let me ask you this. Since you're here in San Diego and there's all these hot chicks walking around dressed like their favorite sci-fi characters.
Yes.
Any chance you might get yourself a little girlfriend out of this Comic-Con?
Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Why would I settle for just one?
I forgot how studly you were.
You don't say, I just want to eat pizza for the rest of my life when you've got the whole Shakey's Lunch a Bunch buffet to choose from.
Right. If you've never had a taste of that buffet.
What about those Mojo potatoes? I'm not going to give those up. I want a taste of that as well. Oh, fine. Cut me off a piece of that cheesy garlic bread. Thank you.
All I'm saying is you might find a lady here who shares some of your interests. It might be good for you to actually talk to a girl this weekend.
All I'm saying is that smell you're smelling me isn't just body odor. There's a little lady on me, too.
That is not true.
It is true.
From last night?
I met up with a Black Canary cosplay girl last night. And let me just tell you, I whipped those fishnets off in a heartbeat. If you knew who Black Canary was, that would be hilarious.
I guess we missed out on that one then, Roland.
Although she did test the integrity of those fishnets.
Yeah.
Some thighs should not be netted.
Oh,
agreed.
Wow.
Yeah. That's very much agreed.
And I think her thighs were trying to get out of the net like a great white shark. But I released them, and now they're back in the wild where they belong. But I did tag her so I could watch her migratory patterns.
Please don't say any more, Roland. You're grossing me out.
Leave my Comic-Con, please.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Please leave.
I hope we run into you.
I respectfully
all over
ask
the place.
You to leave Comic-Con.
We're going to leave, but can we do the show?
I would prefer you didn't.
Well, we're going to do the show.
As would your listeners.
But that's true. But we love you. We're glad you're here.
I do not care for you, sir, and I would like to see you gone.
All right. I don't belong. A song that they basically will not sing anymore. Creep.
It's too popular, man. People don't want to hear songs they know. Come on.
World famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 22 minutes after 6, and we are live from San Diego.
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, your friend Richard Kingman is going to be joining us here.
How dare you?
That does not call him that.
How dare you?
Robert Kingsley.
Creator of The Walking Dead is going to be here. One of our many guests on the program today, including Seth Green and Rob Corddry is going to be here, too. And we're taping a bunch of stuff after the show that we're going to have for you on Monday, too. A lot of
Terry O'Quinn?
Yes.
At the new 666 Park Avenue. We're talking
I love
him
so much.
Yeah, he's
right?
Great.
That's coming up. First, though, time for Rape Talk, our regular feature that we do on Fridays.
We don't.
What's we've mentioned briefly, we made reference to the fact that Daniel Tosh is all in the news this week, and he has not really made any kind of a comment about this controversy, with the exception of apologizing to the woman in question. But, Ralph, what's your recollection of how this thing went down in a comedy club last week?
Daniel Tosh was on stage doing his routine, and he has got a joke that really, it is a rape joke in the sense that the preposterous situation he creates, the absurdity he creates in the joke, does reference rape, but it's supposed to be so over the top and crazy and incongruous that that's where the comedy comes from. And apparently, a woman in the audience took exception to that joke.
Now we're going to hear the joke here in a second, but I mean,
This is not a surprise for Daniel Tosh. Anyone who is paying to go to a Daniel Tosh show knows that the material is going to be not only edgy, but certainly edgier than what you see on the Comedy Central show, right?
And even the Comedy Central show is pretty edgy.
Right, right, right.
But I read in the report she had no idea who he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that she just went to the comedy club just to see comedy.
But isn't that like going to a Wu-Tang show and then complaining on the internet that you don't like rap?
Yes.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
You're just going to a music show and it ends up being Wu-Tang Club.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, here's the joke that Daniel Tosh said on stage, and then we'll tell you what happened next and why it has turned into a firestorm of controversy.
To my circle of friends, I'm tame. My sister's off the charts. I play practical jokes on her constantly, though. I got her so good a few weeks ago. I replaced her pepper spray with silly string. Anyway, that night she got raped. And she called me the next day going, "You son of a bitch! You got me so good. No, 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 no." As soon as I started spraying him in the face, I'm like, "Daniel! This is gonna really hurt."
Now, to me, that's a hilarious joke, and it really has almost nothing to do with rape, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's really just the background for the ridiculousness of replacing silly string for pepper spray, and which obviously is blown way out of proportion for comic effect, and that is sort of the point of the joke.
So, so a woman in the crowd shouted, "Rape is never funny!"
Right.
To which I would suggest a lot of us feel the same way, but the joke's not really about that so much. And you're at a comedy club.
Right.
So then he, what did he say to her?
Well, this is where,
this is where it got south.
This is almost like two different things. One is, how's the joke? And two is, how did he handle it after that point?
Right.
And what he basically did is, you know, he looked at it like a comedian would on stage as he was being heckled. So he decided to kind of heckle her back a little bit, and his musing from the stage was, wouldn't it be really funny if that woman got raped right now?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? To which point she says, and she wrote a very lengthy blog post that has just gone around the world on the internet here recently, she wrote that she started to feel really, really self-conscious, and she actually started to be afraid. She didn't say, "Hey, I think I'm going to get gang raped" or anything like that, but she said everybody in the audience was looking at her, and she was really uncomfortable, and she got up, and she quickly left the club.
Well, that's what happens when you heckle someone. People turn around and look at you.
At a comedy club.
You are making yourself the focal point of the act once you start speaking to the person on stage.
Right, exactly. So this has become a big controversy because now people, and boy, I'm telling you, you'd be hard-pressed to find something that's more split right down the middle in terms of opinions from people online right now. What's acceptable for comedy? I mean, are there topics that are off-limits for jokes? For some people, rape is that topic. For other people, it may be cancer. For other people, it may be 9/11. For other people, it may be incest. I mean, everybody kind of has a thing. Most people kind of have a thing that is a little too close to home.
Yeah, it's whatever has hurt you the most.
Exactly.
You don't find funny.
But, I mean,
that's the way it works.
And is it a defense to say he's a comedian and he's on stage and he can do whatever he wants and it's just it's buyer's market and you just, if you don't like it, you leave and that's fine. It's not, you know, there's no criticism there. It's just, it's not for me. Is that legitimate?
I don't, we'll take your calls to 1-800-520-1067. I don't find rape particularly funny because I run a charity for abused women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's emotionally an atom bomb. I mean, it is the worst possible thing.
But nobody was raped here.
No, no, no.
Nobody was actually joking about a real rape.
Let me finish. So that's one of those topics that, to me, I have a hard time laughing at because I've seen too much firsthand. I have too much knowledge of, you know, the damage it can do. Having said that, if I'm in a comedy club, and by the way, April Foolishness, I don't know, three of them? How many comedians brought it up in some way to reference it, to make a joke or whatever. If I'm in a comedy club and a comedian makes a joke like that, I'm in his house and he makes whatever jokes he wants. If I don't like it, I leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the he must not do jokes because I don't find them funny.
Right.
I don't understand that point.
The whole world of people taking offense and then making a banner out of the fact that they've taken offense and flying it is just ludicrous to me. For someone to say, "I am offended, therefore
you change everything that you do."
Yeah, you announcing to the world that you're offended is meaningless. That doesn't mean anything. We don't care. Okay, you're offended. So what? The world is still going to go on and do what it does with or without you. You announcing that you're offended has affected me not at all.
Right.
And that is, keep it to yourself.
We're going to take your phone calls. We'll take a quick break and come back with your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Is rape a topic that can be joked about, or is it on a very short list of things that are just beyond the pale, just over the line, and there's no room for comedy because it's too sensitive and too harmful to people?
I don't think there's such a list. But we can talk about that when we get back.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number. We've got time for a few of your phone calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from Comic-Con in San Diego. Movies on Demand on cable is the best way to rent the newest and the hottest Hollywood movies instantly. Rentmoviesondemand.com or check your cable on demand guide for more information. We are live today, courtesy of our good friends at Movies on Demand here at the Hard Rock Hotel in San Diego for Comic-Con 2012. Talking about the Daniel Tosh situation right now, he is under a firestorm of controversy right now for basically getting into it with a heckler who was complaining that he had told a joke that involved rape in his stand-up act the other night. Patton Oswalt, by the way, was very funny. He tweeted, "Silver lining to the Daniel Tosh mess, the Laugh Factory has been forced to change its name to the Your Feelings Factory," which is very, very sad. Meanwhile, by the way, Sophia Bush, who we love, says, "To all the dudes standing up for their right to joke about rape, just don't. It's not funny, and none of you are ever going to get laid again." So that actually made me change my mind on that.
No. No, because you're not going to get laid no matter what.
Well, and you're certainly not going to get laid by Sophia Bush.
Right.
So if she's holding out, don't worry about it because you're not going to get any.
We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Is rape one of those topics that can and should never be joked about, or is there no such thing as a topic
like
that?
Here's the thing Sophia Bush says, standing up for your right to make jokes about rape. It's not standing up for your right to make jokes about rape. It's standing up for your right to make jokes about anything. I think that is the bottom line.
Let's see what Clark has to say. She is on line one, joining us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Clark. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's happening?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So basically, I just wanted to call because I'm, 26 and I'm a woman. I live in LA and I love stand up. I love it. I see it all the time. And when I read about this, it's a strange thing because I definitely, I'm kind of, if I had to come down to it, on Tosh's side. The bottom line is...
So you love rape. You're pro-rape then.
Bean, that's not helping.
That's what you're saying.
That's not helping.
At risk of, upsetting anybody and being even more controversial, I would definitely identify myself as a feminist, too, to that extent. But the fact of the matter is, she heckled him, and what he said in response was stupid, and probably he could have said something funnier. But,
yeah, I agree. And he did apologize for that, by the way. That is the one thing he has apologized for, is what he said to the woman before she left the club, which is suggesting it'd be funny if she got raped because she was offended by the rape jokes.
Right.
Exactly. And that's good. And I can say also, by the way, having sat in the improv, having sat in a lot of these shows, I've definitely felt uncomfortable with a lot of the stuff that some of these guys are saying up on the stage. But so I know where she is. I know how she was feeling. But at the same time, I don't believe she should have heckled him. She should have tweeted about it. She should have said something later. She should have whatever. But at the end of the day, if you heckle a comedian, out of respect for the comedy, they are going to come back at you.
And your point, Clark, is well taken, is that sometimes you're in the audience of something and you're uncomfortable about it. But that's okay, because it's not up to the world to make sure that you're always comfortable.
Absolutely.
Clark, great call. Thank you very much for dialing in today. We really appreciate it.
What about all the people who laughed at that joke in the club? Don't they have rights, too? I mean, obviously, they thought it was funny.
Right, right.
So they were amused by that. And then she gets up
and all
she
of those
makes
people
stink
that,
out of
all
it.
Of those people that laugh, by the way, do not think that Tosh's sister got raped.
Or that rape's okay.
Or that it's okay, or that anything like that happened. None of them thought about that.
So, okay, she was uncomfortable. That's just the world sometimes. You were uncomfortable. It's okay. Go home. You're all right. You don't have to...
Or go home and do whatever you want. You can write a newspaper. You can call somebody. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. But
don't stop the guy in the middle of making a living.
Right.
I was thinking about writing a newspaper, Kevin.
Thank you.
I was thinking
about when you go to theater and you see things. You might see rape on stage and it's really uncomfortable, but nobody yells out. That's just not appropriate.
I don't like this play. She's being
Stop
raped.
It.
And Stop this scene.
I don't know
Rewrite
why
it.
In a comedy club it should be different.
I stood up and screamed at the screen during The Accused. I'll tell you that. I was like, hey, that's Jodie Foster.
Don't do
Stop
that.
It. Let's go to Mike here on line two here on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, first of all, I love your show. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
I am a stand-up comedian improviser, and sometimes you say stuff on stage that comes out in the moment or whatever, especially in improv. And I was saying that you can't censor one thing and then expect it not to be the tip of the iceberg.
That's the problem, is once you put one word on that list.
Once you say rape is in this box and it's untouchable, then what's next?
Everybody's sacred cow gets to be put on that list.
Like racist comedy. If you said, oh, racial jokes should be censored, well, that's fine. Then we never had somebody like Richard Pryor or anybody that's ever made one joke about somebody being black or white or whatever. And then we start going on down the line, and it's so subjective. And
we can tell you this.
I completely understand that.
I'm sorry, Mike. We can tell you this from doing this show, that somebody is offended literally by everything we do. You hear from people all day long where they go, I didn't like this, I didn't like that.
Never do this again on your show.
So basically, you can't do anything because one person is upset by it. And to which we say, there are other radio shows, and we hope you enjoy ours and listen to it. But if you don't like it, move on.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, eager to take a call from somebody who disagrees and thinks that Daniel Tosh was in the wrong for making a rape joke. So far, haven't had that person calling us.
That says volumes about our listenership.
Maybe so, yeah.
And the reason why we're still on the air, I think, is because they understand that, you know, not everything that bothers you should be cause for someone to lose their job.
We have had the screeners looking hard for people like that, and we just can't find any.
Let's do one more at least. Let's get to Layla on. She's from Line 4. And Kevin, you bring up such a great point about how people always complain about things on our show. I mean, somebody will make an Alzheimer's joke, and that just hits right at home with somebody who's had Alzheimer's in their family. And they write to us and they say, I can't believe you did that.
It's not personal, people.
Somebody else, it's a stroke joke. Somebody else, it's a dead baby joke. Whatever it is, you know, it's going to – there may be somebody out there, but you can't do any show for one person. Otherwise, you end up being Ryan Seacrest, where you whittle down all of the rough edges to try to appeal to every single person in the world.
I'm more offended by George Lopez doing a chunk on cell phones – that's horrible comedy — than I am by someone stretching and trying something risky and ballsy and making a joke about a subject matter that may be controversial.
That's why we like Jim Jefferies so much and Bill Burr so much and some of those comedians that we have on April Foolishness, because they take you places where you don't want to go and they make you laugh.
Yeah, it's great.
For the most part.
All right, we're going to pass on Layla after all because Tony's in. We need to have time for one more. I think Tony disagrees with Daniel Tosh telling rape jokes on stage. So let's find out where he's coming from. He is on line 6. Hi, Tony. Thanks for calling, dude. What's up?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa, Ralph, everybody. Love you guys. Long time listener of the show.
Thank you.
Since like way back, like Raimondo and the Blade and stuff. But
we appreciate it, but we need to get to the point.
Okay.
Okay.
I think he went a little too far. I mean, I think everything's funny, but there is a fine line when you start going for rape and child molestation and retarded. There's just a fine line that you can go over. Tosh is such a hilarious guy. I just don't think he needs to go there.
Tony, let me ask you this. Did you hear the joke that started the controversy? We played it a few minutes ago on the radio. Did you hear the joke about his sister?
Yes. Yeah, and it was a softball.
Did that sound like a rape joke to you? Or did it sound like a joke about an outrageous practical joke that he played on a family member that clearly didn't happen, wasn't true, was just a setup for comedy?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It was totally a setup for comedy, and you know,
but you don't think he should have done it. You think that rape should be off limits?
It's just because for someone who's raped, that's like joking about someone's kid dying at childbirth or someone's grandma dying of cancer. It's just
right, but
you don't go there.
But the point that we're making is everybody's been hurt by something. I have a great friend who just got cancer. That doesn't mean every comedian has to stop talking about cancer.
And what about 9/11? All of us were affected by 9/11. Does that mean no one can ever make a joke about it?
I don't know. I just think when you're in it, and we're talking here specifically about a comedy club too.
And Tony, the problem is when you say he crossed the line, that line is different for every person. There's no one line we can draw that we can all stay on one side of or the other, because it changes for every individual.
That's true.
You're wrong.
I hope you get raped.
I don't think that's the point.
I want
Tony to get raped.
Tony, thanks for the call. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat live from San Diego next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nice. Nice work there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you have any idea that was going to happen?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
We are live in San Diego at 6:54.
Rob's here with the show.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, we're also going to talk about a TV show.
A TV show, too.
A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic.
And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah,
that happened. It was the first time we ever talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in Vegas.
Shockingly, he's come on several times since then, and he's going to be here again in a few minutes.
You want to talk about the movie The Walking Dead with Robert Kingsman. Yes. That's what you wanted
That's
to talk about.
Right. We were in Vegas.
Yeah.
And it was late in the show, and I was not in good shape.
Really?
Yeah, all the facts were right there on paper.
They were right in front of me. Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
You know you're in bad shape when you can't read two words off of a piece of paper.
That's right.
6:55, Ralph is here. Time for the show. Beat out of Friday. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just concerned. I'm just concerned that my American Idol's just falling apart. What are we going to do?
You don't even watch it anymore.
I know, but still. I have fond memories. It's like an ex-girlfriend. You may not be dating her any longer, but you don't want to see her get breast cancer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, why do you, Kevin? Why do you want to see Ralph's ex-girlfriend get breast cancer? Where'd you go, man?
I don't, but I don't care about American
Idol.
No, what's happening?
For those of you out there who are offended by breast cancer jokes.
It has fallen apart, isn't it, Ralph?
Yeah. First, Jennifer Lopez is bolting as the judge. She said she hasn't made up her mind about it yet, but by all accounts, she's not coming back. And now Steven Tyler has announced he is leaving American Idol as a judge. He will no longer be there. He said in a statement, after some long, hard thoughts, I've decided it's time for me to let go of my mistress, American Idol, before she boils my rabbit. In a reference to Fatal Attraction.
Ah. I will tell you, though, and this happened with Adam Levine over there on The Voice, too.
Yeah.
You are a judge on one of these shows. Your career goes through the stratosphere. Maroon 5 is five times bigger than they were before you joined that show. Aerosmith can't sell tickets fast enough on the road right now just because of the higher profile of Steven Tyler.
Tyler
re-energized his career.
He feels an obligation to his career and to the rest of the band to give Aerosmith his full-time commitment. So they're going back on the road. They're going to record a new album.
I'm fine with that. I care a hell of a lot more about Aerosmith than I do about American Idol.
I don't know why you couldn't do both. But he's an old man, so maybe he doesn't have the energy.
He's an old woman.
So he's not an old woman.
He looks like an old woman.
He is a man. Once again, talking about who could possibly take over as a judge, I mentioned yesterday Adam Lambert's name has been bandied about, as well as Fergie's. Now they're saying will.i.am, her Black Eyed Peas bandmate, Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus, and Katy Perry also being bandied about. So we'll have to wait and see. Down here at the Comic-Con, of course, in San Diego, great, great stuff going on. Yesterday, the Twilight panel was a huge event. 28 cast members showed up on stage. They showed the first 7 minutes of the final film. Kristen Stewart, Rob Pattinson, Taylor Lautner, they were all there. This is sad now, to be honest, Kristen said on stage. I'm about to start crying. I doubt that. I don't think she's got what it takes.
That's genuine emotion.
More geek news. Looks like they're going to reboot the Fantastic Four movies. Now that the successful remakes of Spider-Man... Are you applauding, Dave?
Dave is applauding one time.
How were the, refresh my memory, were those well received, the first?
Critically and not so much by the fan community, but they made pretty good money.
Okay. They made one or two?
They made two of those
two
films. One was the Fantastic Four, and the second one was the Silver Surfer.
That's right.
The Fantastic Four. 20th Century Fox has announced they have picked a director for a new film, which will redo the story of the four Marvel superheroes. I think that they could make a better version of that film, so I'm not too disturbed. But the reason that Fox is doing it is because they've got a very limited length of leash to make these films. If they don't produce a film, the rights to those characters revert back to Marvel, and they lose the movie rights. So they have to kind of keep them in circulation in order to hold on to the rights. And while we're talking about movies, Magic Mike, huge hit for Channing Tatum. There's already a sequel in plans for the hit stripper movie, which I'm sure makes women everywhere very pleased. Working on the concept now, he told Glamour magazine, we want to flip the script and make it bigger. What's he talking about regarding making a bigger?
What is he talking about?
Movie? I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see.
Lisa, did you go see Magic Mike?
I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, you're going tomorrow. Okay.
I am.
Are you going with your girlfriends?
No one will go with me. They're all busy, so I'm going by myself.
Why?
Loser!
I'm so surprised.
Loser!
Because aren't all of the guys in this movie like really like sex symbols?
Yeah, it's
all
not that they don't
want to
see the movie. They just
busy.
Have other plans.
That's how much they don't want to hang out with you.
Loser!
I know, it's so sad.
Lisa can't find a single girl to see Magic Mike with.
So you're just going
to
take your cat like you do?
I'm going to take Boner. Sneak him in.
You're the loneliest little stripper girl.
I am. I'm so sad.
Lisa. I've always felt bad for Lisa that she can't keep a husband, but now it's just getting sad if she can't even find a friend to go to a movie that they want to see.
That's like not being able to find starving people to go to a buffet with you.
I'm sure I just asked them to last minute.
Right.
That's all. No. That's the
problem.
They
all turned her down. Then when she goes by herself with her dog, she's going to see him coming out of the theater.
They're all going to be laughing and having a great time.
Well, it's only been out for a month. I'm sure they literally have been busy every minute since then.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart is 72 years old.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, I'm sorry, Patrick. Harrison Ford is 70. Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong fame is 66. Cameron Crowe, actor, writer, director.
Oh, he's my favorite.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
I love him so much.
He made one good movie.
He made lots of good movies.
He's 55 years old today. Tom Kenny, voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, I love him so much.
Oh, he's my favorite voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. He's 50 years old. Will Champion from Coldplay celebrates his 34th birthday. Drummer for that band. And actor Ken Jeong, Dr. Ken, from Community and from the Hangover films. He is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, guys, remember Miss Double December 2011, Christine?
Yeah, sure.
She's down at Comic-Con. She's working on the floor. I don't know who she's working for. Look at this picture she just tweeted.
Oh, come on.
What about that?
That's the greatest picture I've ever seen. Just Batman stickers is all she's got.
Batman stickers on her nipples? That's the only thing she's wearing in this photo.
Batman!
I love her and miss her so much.
Where is she?
I don't know. She said she may stop by and see us here this morning. We are broadcasting live from the Hard Rock Hotel.
Let's go find her right now.
In San Diego for Comic-Con 2012. Hi, Aisa, who works behind the scenes on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning, and I, too, agree with that picture.
Yes, it's pretty sweet.
It's a win.
It's pretty sweet. I want to have Aisa on because, you know, it's impossible to cover everything that's going on at Comic-Con. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of properties that are having panels and screenings and discussions and the whole deal. But Aisa was at something yesterday that really blew my mind. This 50 Shades of Grey, it's got to be stopped, right?
No,
this
never.
50 Shades of Grey is nonsense.
Oh, no,
right?
I think you could take it on. This is a good time to stop it.
Yeah, now that it's sold 20 million copies.
20 million copies. Correct. It's responsible for 20% of the fiction sold in America, this one series of books, okay? And Aisa, you're a very dirty girl, so I know that you're down with this. For folks who are just crawling up from under a rock, before we talk about specifically yesterday, tell us about 50 Shades of Grey. What's the deal?
Okay, well, it's actually a trilogy. And the writer, E.L. James, who was actually here at Comic-Con doing the signing, wrote these three books. The first one came out last year, and it's the story of really wealthy man, Christian Grey, and it's a love story between him and a woman named Anastasia Steele. And they're in their early 20s. Christian is, you know, the epitome of knight in shining armor. He's extremely wealthy. He's gorgeous. The way she describes him, he has everything. He has all the money in the world. He has everything he can, but...
Get to the sex.
Does he have a massive schlong?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And... wow. The things he does in this book to Anastasia are amazing. But it's essentially...
porn.
It's porn. It's should be a graphic novel. It's bondage. It's a story between a dominant and a submissive.
It's a little rougher, though, than most of the romantic novels that women snap up during the summer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not one of those, like, Harlequin romance bodice ripper type things. It's more... It's now. It's
way more successful than any of those right now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What's the connection between 50 Shades of Grey and Twilight?
Okay, so the book was essentially Twilight fan fiction. The author wrote it with the characters. They were actually Bella and Edward character names, and she changed it. She actually had to change everything because it was too graphic. It was way too much.
Quick primer for those who don't know what fan fiction is. That's where these crazy, insane people like Aisa, they write their own stories about their favorite characters.
So if you want to see
fantasy and science fiction.
So if you want to see Kirk doing it to Uhura, you just write it yourself if that doesn't happen in the TV show.
It's a big online community where you can find those stories posted. A lot of Mulder and Scully porn. I mean, you can find porn featuring your favorite fantasy characters.
So but, this one took off.
So you were at the signing yesterday?
Yes. Okay, so
and this E.L. James, it's a woman who wrote this stuff?
She's a British author. She used to be a television producer, and she just wrote these three books. They came out really quickly. One was last year, and the other two came out. And it was really...
But they're not very successful. I mean, they're just
no,
20
no.
million copies in just the past. Like,
number one, two,
months.
And three, are they? On
one,
yes.
two, and three. Yeah. It's 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, 50 Shades Freed.
50 Shades Darker, that's when she meets a black dude?
Oh,
I don't know anything about it. Why am I asking? I don't know anything about it.
I'm offended being apologized.
Ralph brought up the porn knockoff last night, the 50 Shades of Brown.
Yeah, that's a difference for a different crowd.
And there is 50 Shades of Gay, which is also being made at the same time.
Anyway.
So let's talk about you and EL.
EL was, she did an autograph signing yesterday, and what she did is she announced that she was only going to do a signing for 200 people.
Right.
Now, obviously, Comic-Con, there's millions of people here. So yesterday when we heard this, my friend Dalen and I were here. She had time. I was here with Ralph. And I sent one of my promo kids to go stand in line and get
that.
A ticket.
You used our staff.
Maybe.
I love that.
To I mean,
reserve
no.
your place in line to get your porn signed.
I asked them to get me some coffee. And
that's what you
ticket.
Do with homeless people.
Right, exactly.
It's poor. It's, I
no,
mean,
but homeless people you would pay.
Right, that's
these
true.
Bastard interns except to do her bidding for nothing.
So, Aisa, I'm fascinated by this. I get that you like the book. What made you want to stand in a long line to meet the woman who wrote this book? It's not like you're meeting a hunky. You're not meeting Rob Pattinson or somebody like that you love from the Twilight movies. Why did you want to meet this woman who wrote this porn?
You may not know this, but I'm a little bit of a dork in general. So mm-hmm. I wanted her book signed because, you know, when are you going to have the opportunity to do that? You can't even get close to Stephanie Meyer anymore. And I just think I think people forget the reason why these movies and these books and all these things are so huge are these authors, these women that, you know, bust out these amazing books. Plus, she had really great cleavage.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
You say these amazing books. By all accounts, these books
are just
crap.
They are
well written.
Poorly written, just crap.
Correct. You're right. They're not amazing in the sense that they're literary, you know.
That's so funny.
Gems, absolutely not. But they're complete guilty pleasure books.
That's so funny that everybody agrees on that they're poorly written, but they're
but
dominating the world.
You cannot put these books down.
Really?
You absolutely cannot.
Well, you have to hold them with one hand, right?
My mom's listening, no comment.
What? I mean, is it just because there weren't going to be any more Twilight books and people were so starved to in any small way continue their association with that franchise? Is that why they went in such big numbers for this?
Oh, I definitely agree that that's the case, but I think that regardless of whether there's Twilight or not, there's going to be, like Ralph said, there's going to be this type of fan fiction because we want to read porn. It's not popular for no
now,
reason.
Yeah,
we want to read porn.
Give it up.
Yeah,
I'm not the only one clapping.
Because really, there's no connection between Twilight and these books, Bean.
Except for the origin.
Except
right?
for the origin. But, you know, the people who read the Twilight books, is outselling those in terms of the time period.
True.
And it's outselling the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy. I
mean, what are they going to do about making a movie out of this? That's got to happen,
it's
right?
already in the works. It's already in the works. And my question is, how graphic can they get? Because these books are extremely graphic.
Right.
I mean, there was
That's
times
why
where...
the movie will fail, because there's no way you can match what people's graphic. Fantasies and imaginations are when they're reading this.
Yeah, because you can't imagine that the character, Christian Grey, I mean, is a completely different person for every woman. When you're reading this book, you're thinking, oh, Ryan Gosling, or then you're thinking maybe Kellan Lutz,
or Bean, or whoever.
Yeah, Bean.
Definitely Kevin. So you're picturing a completely different person, so by that time, when the image is on the screen...
Fascinating.
But the actions that happen in the book, you would have to make a hard X-rated film in order to...
Absolutely would.
All right, can you tell us your condition when you were sitting at dinner last night? That you described to me, like no, you can't. Never mind.
No, no, but I would look at I've heard this before. Reading the book, looking over at my boyfriend, he's doing something else, thinking, you're totally doing some of this stuff in this book.
That's what I was wondering. Ralph, is this is the sales of bondage tools and toys?
Yes,
is that like, through the roof now as a result?
There's actually a set of toys that are used pretty. A lot in the book, and so I guess the sale of these toys went crazy. They're these two silver.
Now I know why Aisa has looked exhausted for the last 3 months.
And you're going to laugh, but the sale of gray neckties has also gone up.
What?
Because apparently
he wears a gray necktie
and he ties her up with these gray neckties, and the sale of gray neckties has actually increased.
Fascinating.
Because women are buying them just to use them to tie themselves.
Wow.
It's also really opened up the mainstream world to a lot of bondage and dominant situations that you wouldn't normally, you know, be exposed to.
Sure.
It definitely delves into that.
All right. Thank you, Aisa. You're crazy. That's why we love you.
I love you guys, too.
Robert Kirkman is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I know that dude.
How about that? We'll talk all things Walking Dead with the man who created it right after this on the Kevin Beach Show live from Comic-Con in San Diego.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from San Diego for Comic-Con. And who's sitting next to me?
Ladies and gentlemen, creator of The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, has joined us here in San Diego. Mr. Kirkman!
Yes?
You seem so young and so normal.
Oh, that's right. Bean wasn't in the studio when you came.
Yeah, I've never met you before. That's right. You seem so young. You seem like every other Comic-Con geek I've seen on the street. You're
I'll take that as a compliment.
But you're also the king of them.
There's a great darkness inside of me that I can't contain.
I guess so. Well, congratulations on everything. The Walking Dead obviously was a sensation even before it got made into a television show on AMC, but it just must be every 6 months you must have to pinch yourself and go, how is it getting even bigger? How is this not evaporated yet, right?
It's astounding how it's kind of spiraled into this huge thing with, you know, video games and TV shows and obstacle courses, but you know, I'll take it. Look, I've got groceries to buy and kids to not be homeless. So
tell us all about what happens this season.
Well, my stock answer is you'll just have to watch. But for you guys, everybody dies.
Now you are debuting. You just told us off air. You are debuting what, 5 minutes of season three today at the panel, right?
Yeah. We're doing it's a kick-ass 5 minute trailer that we'll be showing that is just really sprawling. And I love Comic-Con trailers because they're like, by the way, here's like 9 trailers stitched together.
Yes,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And refresh my memory because I know we've spoken with you about this before. But how involved? Obviously, you created the universe, but how involved are you and how much direction are you allowed to give on what the television show decides to show?
Well, I'm an executive producer as well, you know, with 3 other people, David Alpert, Glenn Mazzara, and Galen Hurd, and we, you know, do stuff on the show, whatever. There's like 1,000 other people that work on the show.
But your vote is bigger than everyone else's vote because you've got the vision of how you want it to be, right?
Like, you could have people killed. For real.
People listen to me. There's never been a situation where I've had to be like, this is how I want this.
Yeah.
You know,
people,
so that's great.
I wrote this.
You know,
like
so no. Let's face it. Since there's been television, writers have complained that what they wrote isn't how it ended up on the screen. But it sounds like you've had no complaints with the way the TV show has unfurled.
No, I mean, it's a process. And, like, there's so much other collaboration. Like, everyone on set is contributing to it after the writing is done. And, like, I understand that. And I kind of feel like they elevate material.
So it morphs into something completely, not completely different, but yeah,
it's
better.
It's a piece of paper with words onto it that somehow turns into a TV show,
right,
is the way I look at it. And, you know, when I watch the show, I'm like, you know what, that's really cool.
Your actors, by the way, it seems like, I can't imagine anyone else playing these roles on television. It seems, they're so believable, they're so perfectly cast. Were you involved in that process, too, as to who gets to be these guys?
Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, weighing in and, you know, going, oh, yeah, that one's fantastic and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't want actors out there who didn't get roles to know that I was like, so, you know, I'm involved, but blame Glenn Mazzara is what I say.
You mentioned the obstacle course. Let's talk about that because that has been one of the biggest things that people have been excited about for Comic-Con.
All right, we need to take a break.
No, we just started.
I know, but
we have
need
time to talk about this.
All right.
Don't we?
Well,
we
whatever
do.
You guys want.
We
what
have some
want?
Time, but we need to take a break. So you decide.
You're a bad man.
Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Robert
and talk
Kirkman is here.
I know, and we ran the obstacle course yesterday. And there's a video up at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, of us running the course.
Did the zombies get you?
Well, I tried to stay by Robert because I figured if Robert created the world, they're going to leave him alone.
Uh-huh.
So
that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
You're not zombie-proof either, Robert?
No, nobody is zombie-proof.
But you can go watch it at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and we'll take a break, and we will come back with Robert Kirkman talking Walking Dead on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:37, and we're broadcasting live from San Diego for Comic-Con.
Movies on Demand Lounge, Hard Rock Hotel, Robert Kirkman, our guest in studio with us right now. Probably best known for the Super Dinosaur comic book, but he also does a little something called The Walking Dead. Now, right before the break, Kevin, we were starting to talk about how you and Mr. Kirkman had an experience at Petco Park yesterday that did not involve the Padres. Tell me more.
Well, we did The Walking Dead Escape, which is a – how would you describe it exactly?
An awesome obstacle course where people chase you. Zombies chase you. Yeah.
So, and I didn't know that Robert was going to be there doing it, but when I saw him, I thought, I'm just going to go by him because he'll be safe. He knows where to go. He knew nothing, by the way.
Really?
You knew virtually nothing about that course. Am I correct?
I had not been on the course yet. They set it up this morning. So, okay. Like, I had gone over, like, different obstacles and what they were going to be doing and everything. But,
you must get pitched a million spinoffs or you know, marketing opportunities for The Walking Dead that you say no to.
Sure.
What appealed to you about an obstacle course?
I mean, it's a chance to live the world of The Walking Dead, I mean, in a really cool way. I mean, everyone who reads the comic, watches the show, plays the video game, they would love to be chased by zombies in an environment where you're not actually going to get eaten. So it sounded really
awesome.
Although
we weren't sure of that the entire time.
I will say it was terrifying. Like, I was like, wait, this isn't supposed to be scary. Like, why am I, like, terrified right now?
How many zombies were there?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
And how many people are they chasing down at one time?
I think they go in like waves of like 30 or 40. So, I mean, it's a lot of people.
Wow, you're outnumbered.
It starts with a really cool bottleneck effect where they're like, you got to get in here. And then everyone has to go through one doorway. So you're kind of like pushing against each other and zombies are coming after you and you're trying to get through. And
it's fun. And by the way, Petco Park, you know, is a baseball stadium. That's where the Padres play. And is huge, and you used almost all of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of like walkways and catacombs going through that thing.
Yeah, it's not necessarily on the field. It's all through the stands and walkways, and you have to go upstairs and downstairs and jump over stuff, and it's a lot of fun. You got to be kind of in shape. I mean, you can see that Robert and I are dying a bit.
You're still out of breath, Kevin.
In the video at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, you can see this entire thing. We filmed the entire thing, so... but it's good fun.
It was really a lot of fun, yeah. Aside from, you know, the dry fake blood and stickiness and all that kind of stuff that was on me by the time we stopped.
There was a lot of stickiness, and we really can't talk about that in great detail.
But when Ralph was describing the course to us yesterday, he told us that there's a black light that you go under to determine whether you've been infected or
Speaking of the stickiness.
Speaking of the stickiness, right.
I saw 20/20 on that, hotel rooms.
Believe me, none of us will ever forget that. So some people escape. Some people get through the obstacle course, and they are unscathed, right?
Correct.
But most people probably do get zapped somehow.
Why don't you ask us how that works?
Well, how did it work, you guys?
The zombies in the course have like an infrared, like powdered paint on their hands. And when they grab you, you can't see it when you're running. But when you get to the end of the course, the black light tells you like how many times you've been grabbed by zombies. And then if there's a bunch of that paint on you, you get taken into an infected area and you get a temporary tattooed bullet hole on your forehead for the rest of the day because you've been infected and they had to take you out.
Does this installation disappear after Comic-Con weekend, or is there hopes that it'll be, you know, reborn somewhere else?
This is a test run. I mean, Ruckus Sports does, they're the people that, you know, put this all together, and they do obstacle courses all over the country. And so, you know, we're seeing how it works out here, and then maybe it'll be coming to a town near you.
Take me back, since we're talking about your version of the zombies. You had a lot, you know, you had 100 years of zombie literature probably to draw from when you started The Walking Dead. How did you decide what your zombies' rules were going
to
be?
You know, what I attempted to do is I tried to canonize zombie lore. There's a lot of really cool stuff that comes
from... I don't know about half those words.
Oh, sorry. Like, when you do a vampire thing, it's like, okay, there's, you know, wooden stakes and holy water and sunlight. There's all these, like, rules that a lot of people use. And when it comes to zombie movies, it's like, they shoot lasers and they eat brains. No, they eat hearts. And I don't know. They can run. They can walk. Like, there's all these, like, different... So I tried to pick and choose, like, the best stuff from different zombie stories and kind of mash it all together into one thing.
They do run. They do jog. I know that.
Yeah.
So it's a poorly named show.
Well, you know.
It should be The Jogging Dead.
It's moving at various different speeds, dead.
Your zombies are quite formidable, and that's what makes the show so terrifying, is you put yourself in the situation of these survivors, these people who are trying to live in this new world where there are more zombies than there are alive people, and it's terrifying.
It is. No, I mean, we have a lot of fun with it. And I mean, it really is about, you know, putting yourself in that world and thinking like, would I be a good person? Would I be a bad person? Would I save my neighbor? Would I just not care about my neighbor?
I know what kind of a person I would be, and it would not be good.
I saw you at the obstacle course.
Pushing
aware.
Little kids out of the way.
Yeah. I was pulling Robert out of the way.
Robert Kirkman is our guest here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about The Walking Dead. If you're lucky enough to be coming down to Comic-Con, you can meet him. There's an autograph session this morning at 10:45 in the Walking Dead booth, and then you're having the Walking Dead panel starting at 1:25, where you're going to be previewing Season 3 a little bit also.
Season 3 starts when?
Today?
Season 3 starts in October.
Today?
No, it does not. Sorry.
Are we at issue 100 now? Is that where we're at?
Issue 100 shipped on Wednesday, so yeah, it's in stores now.
How long can it go?
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. I feel like we're just getting started. I'd like to get to issue 1,000.
Wow!
All right.
There's a guy who wants to stay employed.
I like it.
I saw somebody posted, I don't remember if it was official or a fan, but somebody posted a wall at Comic-Con yesterday of the first 99 issues on the wall altogether. And I thought, well, I wonder what that collection is worth now. Are you a guy who has 5,000 copies of every issue in your garage because that's your retirement, is selling those off?
I think he's trying to sell them, Bean.
I wish. No, I mean, I have like 20 copies of this, 30 copies of that. So I do have those books. And when I saw that wall, I was like, I should put that up in my office. That looks really cool. I have those books. Why didn't I do that?
I should have thought of that.
But I'm not sitting on some big stash. I mean, some of those early issues are extremely rare. Like, there's like 5,000 copies of issue 2, and that's it. So
really?
Yeah, I mean, the book started very small.
I was going to ask you what the original reaction was to The Walking Dead when it came out. You were a known entity to comic book people, but I mean, you never have any idea what books are going to catch fire. Fire and what aren't. Did it start off as a sensation or no? Did it just kind of grow throughout the first year?
No, I mean, it was very early on in my career, and the book started small but okay, like enough to keep going. But by issue three, the sales just started skyrocketing every month. Like they would go up by like, you know, 5% or so. And it's been continuing like that since then. So there's always been, you know, different things happening that have, you know, drawn more people to the book, and people seem to dig the book. So, I mean, it was a very small success, but, you know, it was a success. I mean, people caught on to the book very early on. But so we went from 5,000 on issue two to like 5,400 on issue three.
Yeah.
And kept going. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. This is great. Like, so.
This may be a dumb question, but have you ever been on the TV show? Have you ever played a zombie or anything like that on the show? Because I know that you do occasionally have journalists or somebody.
Sure.
You give them the opportunity to be on the show.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see myself on the show. That would ruin it for me, you know? I think that's a little narcissistic.
You're no Stan Lee, in other words.
No. It's like, there I am on my show. What? Look what I've accomplished.
Tell us some of what we can look forward to this season. At the end of last season, if I'm not mistaken, is when they see the prison or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The governor. Obviously, the governor is going to be the biggest change in season three,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, I mean, well, Rick Grimes, the main character going into this season, has just taken charge of his group and is like, I'm not listening to any of you now.
Right.
I know how to make you survive, and you're going to do what I say, or you can leave. And so that's kind of where we come into this season. And he's thrown obstacles that he could never have foreseen, things like the governor and this town Woodbury that we're going to be introducing. And, you know, they do find the prison, which was hinted at at the end of the second season. And, you know, this season's all about change and elevating the threat and altering the show a little bit. They've been running from zombies for a long time.
Right.
Now they're going to see how dangerous people can be.
Ah.
Is there ever a moment's break where you just go, hey, let's go to Hawaii for a week and just chill?
Every minute of every day. But
you mean with the show or for him?
No, I mean the show. I'm just saying.
With the show?
Yeah, the characters on the show at some point.
Just take a vacation?
Just get the hell out of Georgia. Get the hell away from zombies and just relax. Just chill.
The airplanes aren't running, my friend.
Yeah, well, that's true.
See, this is why I can't do his job. Walking Dead number 100 is available now. The show returns on the AMC Network in October for season 3. It's always great when you have you on the show, especially here in person, man. Thanks so much. Ooh, wow.
I don't know what just happened.
Was that a gun?
One of us just got shot at. I'm not sure.
Everyone look for blood.
We appreciate you squeezing us into your busy con schedule, man. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56 live from San Diego for Comic-Con.
Ralph has the showbiz beat. Ralph, before you get into it,
at
what age should someone stop ordering a double chocolatey chocolate chip frappuccino?
Dude, you have no idea. You should see dinner last night. Kevin orders a steak, and it's got vegetables and broccolini and a really nice piece of filet mignon, and he has like two bites of it, and he's making these faces, and he eats like vegetable like someone's putting a gun to his head, and then it's dessert time. So next thing you know, they bring this massive mint chocolate chip ice cream sandwich made out of fresh baked cookies and chocolate sauce, and he inhaled it in about 35 seconds. And I was like, dude, your whole meal, you were like holding your nose, but when it's dessert time, you're 8 years old.
We're supposed to be talking about showbiz.
Right, but how much chocolate can one person put in his body in 24 hours? Look at the size of this chocolatey chocolate chip frappuccino you're drinking.
Most chocolatey chocolate choc.
That's good.
That they make.
This is good.
Willy Wonka would reject this. It's so chocolatey.
You eat like a little child.
Look, showbiz. It's showbiz time. Let's not talk about my eating habits.
Weird.
It is weird.
Forbes magazine apparently is no longer in the business of reporting. They just make lists now. All I see from them is lists of top earning celebrities, top earning actors, actresses. This week's list is Forbes magazine's list of top earning celebrities under the age of 30,
and how much chocolate they eat per day.
Yes, they are. They're young. They're younger than you, they're richer than you, they're more famous than you.
Here's... Don't you tell me Snooki is on this list, because I'm going to come right over there. And
luckily she is not.
Oh, thank God. I don't know, I hadn't really thought that through.
I will read that list. Here are the richest people under the age of 30, celebrities, okay? Robert Pattinson, number 10. $26.5
million. $26
million?
He's not even a good actor.
Taylor Lautner, 9. Lil Wayne.
Wow. These lists always kill me because this is not what they're worth. This is what they earned in a year.
In a year, yeah.
Little Wayne, by the way, looks terrible if he's in his 20s. Doesn't that dude look 45?
He does.
He always has.
$27 million he made over the past 12 months.
Wow.
Kristen Stewart, $34 million.
Adele, sure, with $35 million.
Wow.
Then Katy Perry.
This is crazy money for people in their 20s.
She's in the fifth slot. $45 million she made in the past 12 months.
And that's only good for fifth?
Yeah.
This isn't somebody who spent 40 years perfecting her craft and finally is getting a payoff. She's in her 20s. She made $45 million in a year.
Yeah, she's 27 years old.
Oh, my God.
Lady Gaga, who's 26, is number four on the list with $52 million this year.
All right, now we're talking some serious money.
Wow.
Well, we weren't at 45?
No. Rihanna, at 24 years of age, raked in $53 million over the past 12 months. Justin Bieber, at 18 years old. At 18, $55 million.
Justin Bieber made $55 million in a year?
In 1 year.
Swag.
Number one celebrity under the age of 30. Number one richest celebrity.
There's someone above Justin Bieber?
This whole list reads for me like a list of people who also should be murdered but cartoon death. So this makes it perfect. Number one, with $57 million over the past 12 months, Taylor Swift.
T-Swizzle?
22-year-old Taylor Swift.
Oh, stop calling her T-Swizzle.
How much money did T-Swizzle make in a year?
She made $57 million.
That's crazy.
When Forbes told her, she went, oh, my God, I had no idea I made that much money.
Did
you
really?
Guys, really? She made a big surprise face, and she kept holding her face. Wow. And then a safe fell on her head.
I wish.
Yeah, I know. That would be the perfect ending to that story, but sadly, she's still
alive.
They
were all 10 walking together.
Yeah.
Except for Katy Perry.
And they all walked off a cliff, and then they looked at each other, and then they were, like, suspended in midair, and then went, and then disappeared, and then it was, like, a cloud outline of their bodies before they plummeted to their deaths.
It would be a perfect world.
That would be a perfect world. Justin Bieber may not be rich for long, though.
Good.
There's a woman named Stacey Betts who is suing him for $9 million.
Is this another potential baby mama?
No.
Oh.
This woman claims that she was at his concert in Portland and lost a significant amount of her hearing because of all the screaming done by his fans.
What?
Yep. She is suing him for $9 million because she's now deaf because she went to a Justin Bieber concert. However, if you're going to a Justin Bieber concert, deafness is a blessing.
That's true.
She says that what really did her in was when Justin floated over the audience in a gondola, which acted as a sound blaster and caused permanent damage to her eardrums. She wants a settlement of $9 million for pain and suffering.
First of all, that's ridiculous. And second of all, because it's Justin Bieber, I hope she wins.
Give it to her. Absolutely. And then I hope they kill him.
But weren't there 20,000 other people at the same show who didn't go deaf?
Yes.
Isn't it on her at this point?
But then he made a rape joke.
Oh, well, now that's not true.
Unacceptable.
That's not true.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Ken Jeong, our buddy Dr. Ken, celebrates his birthday today. The drummer Will Champion of Coldplay is 34 years old. Tom Kenny from SpongeBob SquarePants turns 50. Cameron Crowe is 55 years old today. Cheech Marin is 66. Harrison Ford celebrates his 70th birthday. And Patrick Stewart is 72 years old.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
I'm sorry, Captain Jean-Luc Picard. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. We are broadcasting live from San Diego for Comic-Con. Rob Corddry is going to be joining us in moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show, live from the Movies on Demand Lounge here at the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock Hotel, I should say, if you're coming on down. Hey, all this week on K-Rock, we've been giving away tickets to Epicenter, September 22nd at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater with STP, Bush, Deftones, Scars on Broadway, and more. We did the grand prize drawing this morning, beer mug. Who is our winner who's going to get to see any of those bands of their choice anywhere in the country, courtesy of good old K-Rock?
That would be Richard Tenorio of Huntington Park.
Yeah! Come on, Richard.
Richard!
Way to go! You're going to Cleveland to see Dead Cera. Oh, no. Actually, it's your pick. You can do whatever you want. And we'll be unveiling a brand new destination number 3 of the Road Trip USA 2012 Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Why is there an old dude sitting next to me?
I thought he was with you. I don't know who he is either.
Yeah, that's good. See you guys.
Are you a homeless guy?
But I drop by. And you, just on my birthday, and I thought I'd come by and see you.
Are you?
It's Harrison Ford.
You're Harrison Ford? You look terrible. Can you speak up? I'm sorry, Mr. Ford. It's an honor to have you here, but I'm not making out what you're saying.
Party.
It is your birthday. Ralph was saying how you are 70 today. Is that right?
Yeah.
What? This is a huge thrill having you here at Comic-Con. I remember when you came for Cowboys and Aliens a couple of years ago.
That was my my first time in Comic-Con, and I came there like a pudding. When I came back.
Did you say pudding?
Oh, my God.
That's all I heard.
Yeah, I did say
pudding. That's all I heard. That's all I heard was pudding.
And when I came back to Comic-Con, I went on the whole night, and it's a dead
all right, you're going to really need to speak up, sir, because we're really having trouble making out what you're
saying. I said... And when I come back, I'm going to go and go. It's piloted on. It's going to learn. It's going with the cars.
Harrison Ford, you're Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You're Han Solo.
Yeah.
You're Cowboys and Aliens guy.
Yeah, I'm Cowboys and Aliens guy. That's the name of my character. Cowboy and Aliens
I didn't see
guy.
That one. Sorry.
Also, Witness Dude.
Witness Dude. What I'm saying is it's a huge deal having you at Comic-Con. I can't imagine that you can even walk down the street without being just basically assaulted by fanboys.
Recognized the way I was by you guys this morning.
Well, you haven't aged.
You have no idea.
You're not aging well.
Yeah, you have no idea who I was.
You're 70. You look 170.
Sitting right here, and you love me. I was with you. Let's see what's in somebody's fridge.
Did you say somebody's fridge?
Yeah.
I think he's making fun of our shows from the 90s. What does a guy like you do on a...
Kevin didn't remember he did that thing.
I just didn't think you would reference it.
Oh, yeah. I've been listening to the show in London.
What's a guy like
since
you
I was
do?
Witness Dude.
What's a guy like
Cowboys
you?
Cowboys and Aliens guy.
Weren't you American Graffiti driving guy, too?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Bob Falfa.
What do you do on your 70th birthday? How does your wife Callista celebrate with you? What do you guys do?
Callista and I get out 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, wow.
We start acting out scenes from the book.
How long does that last?
We do it until I break a hip.
that's
about
what I
four
thought.
Minutes.
4 minutes. 4 minutes, yeah. Well, it's
and I fly in a plane.
You fly in a plane because that's what
I like to fly. Yeah, I want to fly. But when you get a man, you get a lot of good with the air.
I lost that last part, but it's great to meet you, Mr. Ford. Happy
I'm
birthday.
It's the only time I can get it up anymore without a pill.
Okay, I understand.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, and we are broadcasting live from San Diego for Comic-Con 2012.
Ralph, who's that handsome movie star that just sat down next to you?
I don't know, but he always has a beautiful leading lady in all the projects I've seen him in.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Children's Hospital, the great Rob Corddry joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rob,
hey,
how are you?
Hello, everybody.
It's so funny to see a guy like you dressed up, or what you call dressed up, which is you're wearing a plaid shirt and a fake tie.
Yeah.
It's a real tie.
I tuck my shirt in. I've just learned how to tuck my shirt in.
But, yes. But you can tell.
But yeah. that tie.
That's the thing.
That shirt and that tie looks like something a seventh grader would wear if he was trying to dress up like a grown up.
Yeah, man.
It's class picture
okay?
day.
Okay. I'm doing it. Day. I'm nailing that look.
You are, in fact, nailing that
that's
look.
That's what you were going for.
I see. Rob, what's going on, man? You're here for Children's Hospital or something else?
Children's Hospital. 24/7.
Why is that a Comic-Con thing?
Why is any of this a Comic-Con thing?
That's
this is crazy.
So little comic related now.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what the tie-in is.
I feel so bad.
Because the Sandman shows up and surprised everyone at the hospital this season? What's happening?
I feel so bad for all these really kind of chubby, smelly people walking around that are like, oh, the Warner Brothers booth is so much bigger than mine. it's taken over. I think if it can just barely fit in a geeky sort of, realm, it's in.
Because I thought the same thing about Community. I know Community has a big presence here. Sure. I think they had their panel last night, and I thought,
they're very geeky.
What's the tie-in? Is it just that
it's because they're self-aware. They're self-referential. You know, they kind of comment on TV. So that's
and one of the characters is a huge geek. So
that's true.
It kind of plays.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Children's Hospital is on the computer, and geeks like computers.
Yeah. Computers, and there's there's nothing else geeky about it.
So, were you here yesterday? How'd you spend your day?
No, we got up. Yesterday I didn't.
We're only talking about yesterday.
This wasn't that long ago.
Oh man,
I didn't say where were you in 74.
Go
okay,
through yesterday was that Kennedy was killed? What happened?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I got here at like 7, We got dinner, and I went right to bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are a rock star.
Wow, I want to party with you.
I am a 41-year-old person.
I wondered how Cordry rolled when he came into Comic-Con.
That's how it happened.
I went right to bed.
I was so proud of myself, too. It's the first thing I said when I got up. I was like, I am so proud of myself.
I'm going to dress like a seventh grader.
I'm going to go attack this Comic-Con.
Because usually you do make the bad decision at Comic-Con, which is to stay up all night the first night out, and then you're just your ass is dragging for the remainder of the weekend.
Stupid.
Oh, that's going to happen tonight.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a panel today at 1 o'clock. You're going to be unveiling some sneak footage, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Of season 4.
Oh, yeah.
And also you're doing NTSF SDSUV, too? You're doing panel as well?
It's said that I'm moderating it, but it's not even true. I'm just going to be there, and they're coming. We're coming after them. We decided just to, like, we're not even going to have a moderator. We're just going to ask questions. We just do bits anyway.
What are you talking about?
We just get up, and joke self-indulgently until people get sick of it and we leave.
Okay. Or they leave.
Either way, good use of everybody's time.
Exactly.
So you just riff, basically. Get up there and you just crack wise.
Exactly.
Who from the cast from Children's Hospital is going to be joining you on the panel?
Everybody's here, except for Megan Mullally, I believe. And I'm not sure if Malin is here. That was always kind of up in the air. No, she's not. I was just told.
So just those two?
No, everybody. Yeah, no. Only Megan and Malin are not here.
Henry
came in today. Marino's here. I had dinner with him last night.
If you haven't seen Children's Hospital, it is one of the best shows on TV. It has a very good time slot on Adult Swim, which is about 2 a.m.
It's the best. It's prime time on Adult Swim.
It's like 2 a.m. to 2:05 or 2:06, depending on the length of the episode.
It's certainly the shortest show on TV. Now,
yeah.
We've talked to you ever since before it debuted. We've been talking to you about Children's Hospital, but it did start as a web series, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and then made the transition to television. What about your little friend Ken Marino and his unbelievably popular web series right now? Because that ought to be on TV too. That's so great.
Well, you know what's so funny is that, you know, the Yahoo, it's on Yahoo, and Yahoo is actively competing with the networks and television. And
so they're programming, like counter programming.
Oh, yeah. And they outbid networks, TV
really?
Networks, to do two more seasons of Burning Love.
So really?
They are poised to revolutionize media with that show if they are smart.
So Marino and his wife are rich now.
Yeah. Oh. No one ever gets rich doing things they love.
I'm still going to ask him for a loan. I don't care.
Rob Corddry is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I have to ask, I don't know if this is just a rumor that's going around or if this is a real deal, but I thought I saw this week that you're going to be in the next Alexander Payne movie.
I don't know if he's I'm going to be in the next movie that the guys that wrote The Descendants with Alexander Payne are writing and directing.
Oh, okay. So it's not Alexander Payne.
I have no idea.
Because you're not good enough to be in an Alexander Payne movie, right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like me.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
I'll have to check my Wikipedia page. But
I mean, if you know a guy who knows a guy who knows Alexander Payne, I will accept that.
Well, let me ask, is there in his movie, is there like a bald best friend that says, hey, main character, go do this crazy thing. Nothing bad can happen. Then Payne movie.
I'm so relieved that I read that wrong because I really did think that Hollywood's infrastructure was collapsing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there was two comedians nominated for Oscars this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, up is down, buddy. Down is up.
I don't know what that means, but all right. Everything's backwards.
It's Comic-Con.
It means we're living in bizarro Comic-Con, world, man. Is what
exactly.
I got.
All
right. Rob Corddry,
would you like to spread any more false rumors about Rob Corddry's career,
Bean,
before we get going?
I even specifically
said
that by saying...
I heard you were in Dark Knight Rises. Is that true?
Are you the new Batman? They're rebooting Batman and it's you.
I set it up by saying I could be wrong. I may have heard this wrong because it didn't sound right to me either. Did not pass the sniff test.
Breaking Bad's a good show.
You're a girl. Rob Corddry is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Seth Green next hour will return right after this live from San Diego. It's Comic-Con 2012.
Where's the cough button?
Be professional.
Where's the cough button?
We don't have a cough button on site.
We're on the road, dude.
It's world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean.
Can I smoke in here?
Sure. Only if you're on fire. Hey, we're broadcasting live from Comic-Con 2012 down here in the Wales Vagina for live Comic-Con coverage and contests. Follow Movies On Demand on cable at twitter.com/moviesondemand because Movies On Demand, don't you know, is where we're broadcasting from their lounge in the Hard Rock Hotel here in San Diego.
Stop with the Whale's Vagina comedy, would you please?
That's San Diego.
Yeah,
you can't say San Diego without thinking of the Spanish translation. Come on, you know that. Rob Corddry is here from Children's Hospital here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob comes in with two attractive women following him everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
That's,
so what?
That's how I know you've made it in Hollywood, man. You got two, not one, but
that
two.
How you roll?
That follow you around.
I wear plaid shirts and I tuck them in. Yeah. Well, that's going to happen.
You sure do.
Bring back the knit tie, so live with it.
We found out during the song
that Rob is in maybe 9 movies in the next
I
year.
I heard 10.
10? 10? 11?
Well, it depends on how many of them go straight to DVD. So, you know.
They're still movies, even if they're on DVD.
They are definitely images that move. Yes.
How many are solid? Because it sounded to me when you were having that conversation like maybe 2.
Like you were hoping we don't see some of them, it sounded like.
There's I'm trying to look back and it's – no, they're – I'm trying to think. There's a really, really bad one. There's one that's been a lot of trouble. Okay. That's the one that who knows? Nobody knows.
Right, you're going to have to give us some details because I'm fascinated with your Hollywood lifestyle. What's the movie that's
been
trouble?
Break down the list.
It's called Butter. Jennifer Garner, Olivia Wilde, Ty Burrell, Alicia Silverstone.
This was based on a popular book or something, right?
No, it was shot like 2 or 3 years ago.
Spread, wasn't it?
it was based on The Spread. Yeah. But the Spread, now that's the problem. The Spread has sued us.
No,
Butter itself.
And then Margarine has a lobby and they've got something to say about it.
But hey, the joke's on me. I should have made sure that they cleared Butter before doing the movie.
Why is it trouble, though? Why do you say it's trouble?
Because it's a political movie, so I think they've been waiting to release it for the election, and then it's been now they're competing with a lot of other stuff, and it's a Harvey Weinstein movie, so he's like kind of crazy anyway. He's just waiting for, and he's a genius about it. Like he's waiting for the right time. And,
but maybe after you're dead, we don't know.
Yeah, and you know, I think I've heard there's been like 3 or 4 cuts of it, so it's just a really. I'm very curious.
This is not meant to be insulting, but how many?
wait.
That's always followed by an insulting question. I know, but how many movies do you have in the can that are in limbo like that one?
In limbo. None.
Just that one.
Yeah, just that
That's
one.
That's the trouble. Okay.
That's the troubled child.
That's the troubled child.
All right.
But it might very well be the best of them, I think. Like, it's a really good movie. But it
might never see the light of day.
Comedy, yep. Comedy film. They might just like, well, you know, the Weinsteins will do that. You ever watch a Weinstein DVD and they'll show all these trailers for movies you've never seen, but they're full of great people? And you're like, this looks awesome. They just do that. It's like a strategy.
Keeping to themselves?
I don't know. They're like, well, we're wasting money. Let's just go make some on this.
But isn't that, Ralph, we've talked about this before. Isn't that what's fascinating about being an actor is you do the work and then you may never hear about it again? Or it may come out in 5 years? Or it may come out tomorrow? It's so out of your control. You are only responsible for what you can do.
And you also talk to people who come down here to do the panels, a lot of actor stuff, who are talking about projects that either they've done 2 or 3 years ago that they're it's already passed for them, or the projects they haven't even started filming.
That's the problem. Is that right now I'm that guy. People are like, "Hey, did I go to high school with him? I know him from somewhere." But then, if all of these movies are released at once, people are going to be like, "Oh God,
that guy's
that guy."
Is there no other actors they can hire than him?
No.
How many people are convinced that you and Paul Scheer are the same person?
100%.
Yeah.
Actually, no. It's more Kechner, David Kechner.
Oh, interesting.
So it's the three of us.
The sexy bald guys. All three sexy bald guys kind of roll into one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I mean, we're trying to get Stanley Tucci keeps trying to get in our gang, but we're like, hey, well, you're not tall enough.
All right, so Butter. That's one.
That's one.
What's two?
He
has no idea.
I'm looking at one of the beautiful women that I came in with.
That's why I said someone.
Okay, well,
a list.
One of them is Warm Bodies. That's a really good one. If we,
I want the double feature of Butter and Warm Bodies.
Warm Bodies is a zombie movie told from the perspective of the zombies.
Awesome,
nice,
yeah. And it's
that didn't come to your mind as something we would want to talk about at Comic Con.
I know, right?
What's
you look at the Walking Dead comic book?
Hell. He's sitting there looking like
I committed to not thinking about anything this whole weekend, and I'm following through with it.
Yeah.
Literally looking at Nicole to tell me what to say. Warm Body. And I basically play the best friend, like I always do, but I'm a zombie.
You're a zombie best friend.
Yeah, and they start to get better. That's the hook, is that it's a zombie movie like you've never seen, and that the zombies are getting better, and they're trying to tell, like, let the humans know. And
hey, we're not all bad.
Exactly. And there's a love story. It's crazy. I've seen it.
You have.
And it is amazing.
Awesome. That sounds awesome.
This movie, if they can market this right, it's going to be huge.
Three.
What?
Next
three.
One. Next film.
Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain.
Yeah, it's a Michael Bay film.
Pain and Gain, Warm Bodies and Butter. It sounds like you have a porn career.
Pain Kanan.
All these titles sound like something you see in the back of the video store.
These are chapters in 50 Shades of Grey. That's what these are.
It does seem like the XXX knockoffs
all have the same titles.
The two industries have just kind of, it's really, the line is blurry, isn't it?
All right, Kanan Gain, are you tied up or are you doing the tie-in?
I'm doing a lot of DPs, a lot of air tights.
Now we're getting somewhere.
First face.
Okay.
At least you're coming clean.
Pain and Gain is a Michael Bay movie, but it's his first indie comedy.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, it's going to be.
This
wait,
is a sketch.
You guys are going to have me on in a year, and
well, he's known
this
for
movie comes
his
out,
subtle
for
sense
the
of
man
humor.
Who brought you the Transformers.
And you guys are going to be like, what? This movie is insane.
Do
and
you promise that we'll say that? That'll be
you are going to go like this. What? Look at me. Look at me. Look. Okay, just right. Like that. Mark my words.
All right.
You
you're
check
the best
the
friend
tape.
Who
keep
explodes
the
at some point.
I'm
the
best friend again. That I am a car crash robot.
Okay, I like it.
No, there's no car crashes or robots. It's a comedy. It makes no sense. This
for
a,
Michael
it's a
Bay.
Dark are, indie
is the
comedy.
Same Mark,
by Michael Bay.
Same Michael Bay that we know.
Yes, starring. Okay. Now it's a dark indie comedy starring Wahlberg, Mark Wahlberg, and The Rock. So then that makes no sense.
Right.
And then I'm in it, which starts to make it seem like we're in another universe.
You're filming us for some version of Punk'd, right? That's what's happening right now. Is you're trying to see if how much we're going to buy.
Listen, that's the whole time on set I was looking around. Just like, I still have no idea what that movie is and what's but it's going to be.
All right, I think we only have time for one more of your nine. Give us movie number four that you think you're going
to
be in.
We're talking to Rob Corddry, and we're trying
Children's
to
Hospital.
Oh, I'm about to go shoot one.
Okay.
Two of them haven't been shot yet. I'm
what
shooting the next 2 weeks.
What would you do without
weeks.
Her?
I'd be completely lost.
Yes. Yeah. You need her.
No, I'm not even kidding.
Thank you for not saying that word that you mouthed.
Yeah. I am.
She probably tied your tie this morning.
Yeah, she probably tucked your shirt in.
Oh, my God. I almost asked her to come up to my room to help me
to
match
make some
my,
butter?
Match my shoes to my shirt, and then I just ended up wearing the most comfortable ones.
Yeah. All right, what are you getting ready to film, Rob Corddry?
It's called The Way Way Back. It's written by Faxon and Rash, the guys that wrote The Descendants.
Okay, oh, wow. All right.
And this is like they've been their script for 10 years, and they finally got an Oscar, and they can get it made because of that.
What a fascinating life you have!
It's
all imaginary. None of it is real, but it's fascinating to hear about.
I believe it. If I believe it,
as long as you believe
matters.
It, man.
You seem like you're kind of stumbling through it, though. You don't seem like you got a lot of control over your life. Things are kind of happening to you, it seems.
Last night at 7 o'clock, I let go of control of my life.
Good man.
And I've never felt better about it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it feels so good.
Children's Hospital Season 4 coming this summer on Adult Swim. Do we know any more than this summer? Do you have a date?
Oh,
for
yeah.
The
August 9th, midnight.
August 9th, okay. And then if you're coming on down, you definitely want to check out the Children's Hospital panel, and that is going to be this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Rob Corddry, always great to have you by, man. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53, live from San Diego for Comic-Con 2012.
Also, you should be at KROQ.com right now because we posted up a video this morning of Kevin, the experience that you had at Petco Park running a zombie maze with Robert Kirkman, the creator of The Walking Dead.
I figured I'd stay as close to him as possible because they wouldn't hurt him. Because
why
created,
wouldn't they?
Well, he created the world. He's the creator.
He kills them all.
But shouldn't he know the ins and outs, like the best? He understands zombies better than anyone. He should know how to get away from them.
Yeah, I thought that. And I also thought that he would know the exact course and where to go and everything. He knows nothing.
Well, it's an awesome video and an awesome experience. This is the first time they've ever done this. An obstacle course where you run from zombies. You are immersed into the world of The Walking Dead. It's happening all weekend long at Petco Park. And you can see the video of the guys running it at KROQ.com right now. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here from Comic-Con. And then Seth Green joins us coming up next hour as well.
Speaking of Comic-Con, how appropriate. I've got tickets to give away to the advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises.
Yay!
Movies in theaters everywhere Friday, July the 20th. However, if you would like to see it on the 18th, a couple days before the rest of the world, you can see it at the Landmark at our special K-Rock advanced screening of The Dark Knight Rises. I think these are my last passes I'm giving away for this
screening.
Don't
be a-holes and tweet about what happens.
Yeah, really. Keep it to yourself.
I can't see it till the 20th, so.
Yeah. If you'd like to go, here's your trivia question. Anne Hathaway, of course, plays Catwoman.
Yes.
In The Dark Knight Rises. She joins an illustrious list of other actresses who have played Catwoman in the past.
I think more women have played Catwoman than any other actors have played any Batman villains.
Huh.
So if you'd like to win these tickets, call now, 1-800-520-1067, and name for me three of the other five actresses who have played Catwoman on television and in films. 1-800-520-1067. I'm going to need three out of five. Call now. If you'd
Ryan like Gosling.
And Ryan Gosling did not play Catwoman. I know that for a fact.
He is in the new one, though.
He is not Catwoman. No, it's Anne Hathaway.
Oh.
Looks like there is a Hollywood feud going on, according to Us Weekly magazine.
Sweet.
Between Robert Pattinson and Andrew Garfield. A vampire and Spider-Man squaring off. Now, that's a movie I'd like to see. Spider-Man versus a vampire.
What are they fighting over?
Nothing.
They've got mutual friends. Nothing. They've got mutual friends, apparently, and Garfield considers himself a serious actor and is quoted as saying that Robert Pattinson is the equivalent of a cheesy boy band member.
Agreed.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So apparently Andrew's right and Pattinson's wrong. So, but they're both aware of each other and their feelings for each other and apparently not happy with each other. It's on.
Hey, Andrew Garfield was in The Social Network. You weren't Robert Pattinson, all right?
Yeah. Andrew Garfield is a good actor, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Jessica Biel, I'll be hanging out with her later this afternoon, by the way. Any messages? You want me to give Jessica Biel any messages when I'm hanging out talking to Jessica Biel?
Well,
I'll be talking with her and Kate Beckinsale. We'll be hanging out together. So if you have any messages for either of those
just
ladies.
Field the questions that they're going to be asking about me.
Are they still calling you those. All the time at home, Kevin,
it's
like
really
you've been saying?
It's really getting embarrassing.
Must be embarrassing for you when your wife answers and it's Jessica Biel again who just won't let it go.
She's on like, the line with back. Kate Beckinsale.
Call back, please.
Yeah, they're both in the new Total Recall movie and I'm doing that panel this afternoon. I'll be doing the Total Recall panel.
Kate Beckinsale, ask about Kevin.
Just field the questions.
I don't think she's going to be asking about it.
Just if
is Colin Farrell going to be there too, Ralph?
Colin will be there, sure.
Wow, that's strong.
I don't have a Colin Farrell jingle.
Jessica Biel is talking about her workout.
Can Jessica Biel ask about Kevin?
No. She's talking about her workout regime and her diet. Apparently, in order to look like that, here's what you have to do. She does football drills, she said.
What?
She swims, does yoga, and hikes.
Huh.
In order to look like she does, here's her diet. Vegetables, quinoa, probiotics, and green tea. That's it. That's all she eats. That's
what just eat sucky.
Dirt and air and clouds. I mean, it's just really, that's basically the
she
same
a human
thing.
Or a chicken? What's going on
she
here?
She's not having a good time. I'll tell you that much.
Jessica Biel ask about Kevin.
No, she
is
didn't.
Life worth living if that's all you have to look forward to at dinner time?
I would never want to. I couldn't.
Right, but she looks like that.
I know,
mean, that's the trade-off.
That's not worth it.
That's the trade-off. For you and me, we would just eat that and then we would look like us.
I know.
And then there's no payoff.
But if she had a burger once in a while, she'd still look like
her. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Once in a while, indulge.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus, she's got a new tattoo. This is her 13th piece of body art. She's got 13 different tattoos.
Sweet.
And she's what, 19, 20? Something like that?
The first one I think she got was I Hate My Dad. I think that was the first tattoo she ever got. Hmm. And now her latest one is a quote by President Theodore Roosevelt.
All right.
This is written on her left forearm, the following quote, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat.
Do you think, come on.
Do you think Miley has any idea what that quote
no,
means?
No, why would she do that?
I have no idea.
That makes no sense whatsoever that a young woman would get that particular quote tattooed on her body.
Do you think that's so that she can look smart? Honestly, like, this is a, it's a quote. You don't remember that? I mean, really. What's the other reason for that?
Well, she's a huge Roosevelt fan.
Is she?
We all know.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize her love for him.
Teddy and FDR. Both,
wow.
All the Roosevelts. Yeah, she's huge, huge fan.
And the Roosevelt Hotel as well.
Yes. Yeah. Eva Longoria likes her pro athletes. Apparently, she's got a new boyfriend. New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez.
Mm. He's linked with pretty much everyone.
Yeah, he does good work. Not on the football field, but right apparently he does pretty well with the ladies. So congratulations. And Steven Tyler has announced he is leaving American Idol. He is no longer going to be a judge on that show. You know, he's already done two seasons of that show. I didn't know that.
I didn't realize it had been two either. Yeah.
I thought so, but no, he's done two of them. Huh. He said it's time for him to leave his mistress and go back to his wife, which is, of course, Aerosmith. He's devoting his full time back to that career, but can't complain.
Hey, considering he
that
signed
show reinvented him.
Absolutely. Considering he signed on to American Idol without even discussing it with his bandmates, I'm sure that they're all glad to have that chapter behind him.
And they're also glad to have the increased revenue from ticket sales for those concerts since more people are going to see Aerosmith now than they have in
absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they
is it possible they'll come back and be good again, or have they been ruined for life? Because they were one of the greatest rock bands of all time at one time.
Until they started doing Disney
music. And then they started doing the worst, crappiest songs ever.
Ballads for movie soundtracks.
Yeah.
No, they're
can they come back?
No, they're an oldies band, but they have their fans, and people will go to hear those songs.
He's still a good lead singer, I think.
Yeah, he's a great singer. Yeah. Let's see if we have an answer for my trivia question. I think Delu, a woman, by the way, a woman who likes comic books and comic book movies, is on the phone.
Let's find out if her brother or her neighbor told her the answer and told her to call for
What was that noise we just heard? It sounded like a
cow.
Delu, yes. I need three of the previous five actresses who have played Catwoman.
Okay, there is Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt, that's correct.
Holly Berry.
Halle Berry in that horrible Catwoman movie, yes.
And my favorite, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, there you go. The other girls, of course, Julie Newmar played Catwoman, and so did Lee Merriweather. So congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, God, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Nicely done.
Also, congratulations to Hero. He also won, so I think that's it. I think that's all the tickets I have left for that movie.
Oh, it's sad.
It is sad.
They're gone.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Since we're at Comic-Con, it's appropriate we salute Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise. He's 72 years old today. Harrison Ford turns 70 years old. Cheech Marin of Cheech and Chong fame is 66. Cameron Crowe turns 55 years old. Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, he's 50 years old. Drummer Will Champion of the band Coldplay turns 34
years old. He's a superhero movie here down at Comic-Con, right?
Will Champion?
Just sounds like it, right?
It just sounds like that. Ken Jeong, our buddy Dr. Ken from Community and from the Hangover movies. He is 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I don't think I was smiling.
We need more pictures. Take more pictures.
There's nothing better than pictures of radio guys. Nobody's... Seth Green, nice job. Well done. Hey, it's the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KRQ. We are live at Comic-Con 2012. Put down the phone, Seth. Back away from the phone.
I'm going to let people know to listen.
Stop tweeting. Seth Green is here.
You must tweet to live.
Hi, guys.
What's going on, man?
Well, it's Comic-Con 2012.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
And you remember Comic-Con 1960. You've been coming for a long time.
It's true. When we first had the first Comic-Con in 1940, we thought, oh, those Germans, this is going to be trouble. But, you know, everyone got along and traded all their books.
We haven't mentioned this much because it's kind of not necessary. Everybody knows Comic-Con now. Everybody knows how popular it is. But it was so funny to me in that Comic-Con documentary that Morgan Spurlock made to see the news reports of the first Comic-Con where they were saying, well, they're hoping for 500 people. And then you find out like 100 people showed up at the first Comic-Con. Yeah,
everybody had a long box full of old comic books and they were just trading and selling.
In a basement,
do you guys
people.
Use the plastic or using that fancy Mylar?
I like the Mylar.
Well, I find the Mylar to be very crackly and, you know, it starts to wear over time.
But at least the cardboard's acid-free.
You know, maybe one day they'll come up with a universal system of grading so that everyone can have an agreed-upon standard of quality.
That's crazy talk.
I've got a vision.
What's happening right now?
They're related to the good old days.
Comic-Con improv, that's all.
I like it. So, Seth, you are here partly to represent your many things, including the Robot Chicken panel. But
yeah, when's that? When's the Robot Chicken panel?
It's today.
Today?
What's that? Three, maybe? We're in the Indigo Ballroom at the Hilton Bayfront.
Nice.
Check it out.
Is it still a little bit of a thrill to you to have your own panel at Comic-Con?
Yeah, man, this is a super thrill. The thing, and I had a greater realization this year, as much as it's become like really commercialized and it's become, there's this huge influx of Hollywood because...
There's bandwagoners like Bean and I.
Well, there's plenty of people that come just as tourists, but it really still is... an international gathering of super fans, like super passionate people who really love this stuff. It's the only time they all get together in a year. Anything goes here. You can wear whatever costume you want. You can buy whatever you want. And as all the influx of attention has done is made a higher quality of product for people to buy. So that's not a bad thing. Yeah, it's a little more crowded. But that also means there's just more people that like the same stuff, which in itself is kind of encouraging.
You know what's bizarre about this whole thing is that a lot of people who are into comics get made fun of as being nerds and whatever. This is their time, and they're the least judgmental group that I've ever met. Like, you would think I would come down here and get mocked and beat up.
It's an accepting kind of place.
What happened?
I don't know. Sorry, guys.
No, but
I have an EMP in my pocket. I've got plans for later this afternoon.
people are the most just genuinely nice, non-judgmental, fantastic people that there are.
Well, it's because they've spent most of their lives as misfit outcasts being persecuted for their passionate loves.
They're just glad you're not hitting them. They're very inclusive. They appreciate the fact that you're not mocking them.
Oh, you just need directions? Sure. It's over there. Dad, you raised your fist and pointed. I thought for sure you were singling me out to your friends. This is the guy we're going to get.
You're not going
to
pull my pants down, are you?
Not today.
What is the Robot Chicken DC Comics special, Seth Green?
We got to make a half hour of all Robot Chicken dedicated to DC Comics.
With their permission this time, though,
yeah,
right?
Not only that, Jeff Johns co-wrote it with us.
These guys
don't
know.
Me. Jeff Johns, one of the players for the White Sox, right?
One of the great writers for DC who does Justice League and has done Batman,
You're
Green
telling
Lantern.
Telling us like we don't know that.
Yeah, you don't.
So, like you got to do all the Star Wars stuff with Robot Chicken, now you get to move on and attack DC Comics.
Yes. Yes, fine. Attack them with love.
With love, of course. I meant with love, yeah.
You guys have been using the Mego figures and those characters for a long time.
Yes, we're actually doing a giveaway. I think it's tomorrow at the Mattel booth because they do those retro action figures in the same style as the Mego.
Yeah.
And we put a sticker on them, and Matt and Jeff and I are signing a bunch of them.
Oh, awesome.
I think there's only like 30 of them or something.
That's terrific.
So you're playing your Batman, Robin, and Aquaman?
Yeah, I like that you say Aquaman.
Aquaman?
Like that's a good acumen for this class.
I enjoy Aquaman.
It sounded like Aquaman, like a woman.
Yeah, you know, we're kind of burdened by our budget, and we had a lot of really good gets in the special. We got Alfred Molina to play Lex Luthor and Paul Rubens to play the Riddler.
Oh, wow.
This is really exciting.
Megan Fox as Lois Lane, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Yes. Megan Fox as Lois Lane. Come on.
And the super fans will be disappointed because we had this moment where we're like, oh, we should get Kevin Conroy to play Batman.
Sure.
And then we just kind of ran out of money.
So you got to be Batman.
Kevin, yes.
Did you do a Conroy sort of impression? Let me hear a little Batman.
I always do.
Batman.
It's always a little more Bale than Conroy.
You don't understand what you're talking about. I'm going to need some cream in that. Please add extra honey to my chai and my tea.
This special that you made, is this also going to be airing on the new season of Robot Chicken? Or is this
a standalone thing, yeah. It'll be the beginning of September. I think it starts our season.
Can anyone see the clock? Does anyone have any idea
where we
are?
Yeah, we need to take a break.
It's 9:17.
We need to take a break.
Lightning is sitting in front of it again.
No, it's right there.
Where
is
it?
There. Right in front of you.
Thank you very much.
Right
there. Seth Green is here. We are live from San Diego for Comic-Con.
Kevin and Bean and Ralph Garman, ladies
and gentlemen.
Thank you, Seth.
We'll be right back after this with the world-famous K-Rock.
Sorry. 106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock.
Did you think you were just going to talk into the air and we were going to hear you somehow?
You need to use a microphone.
Kevin thought that air drumming was enough of his contribution.
I know we're living in the future and you can't tell the difference anymore between media
Let's
and content.
Let's not focus on
but
me.
I'm
Let's
just
talk
saying
to Seth.
You still need to use a microphone
Let's
on
not
radio.
Focus on
Seth
me,
Green, right. Stop tweeting.
I can't, guys.
He really can't.
Seth is here. Robot Chicken, of course, a big presence here at Comic-Con 20. And by the way, there's also a Family Guy panel again this year, too. You're part of
Family Guy on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big one. We're in Hall H. Are you going to come to that?
I'm not, no.
How come Ralph Garman got to be in the Ted movie, your co-star in Family Guy, and you didn't get to be in the Ted movie? What's up with that?
I wasn't actually around at all when he was shooting.
I'm sure if you were around, you would have been in it. Everybody seems like everybody worked on the show was.
It seemed like it. I don't know.
Were you
everybody
asked?
Except for...
There was one point where McFarlane and I were talking about it. I was like, how's shooting going? He's like, it's really great. I just had Joel McHale. And I was like, oh, how's Joel? And he goes, he's really funny. He's tall. And I was like, yeah, he's super tall.
And then he turned and ran away?
No, we were just on the phone.
Oh.
Like, we were I wasn't... He never was like, hey, come do the Ted movie. But I was never like, hey, I have a ton of time. Put me in your Ted movie.
I'd like to be in your movie, please.
Speaking of which, though, can we talk about how awesome that movie is?
Yes, how great is that movie?
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, we knew the dude was a genius.
Doesn't that's exactly what I said. I said I've known him for a really long time now. And I know he's funny. Like, I know he has a great sense of humor. And I know he's super talented. But you almost take for granted that Family Guy is just... good and you can turn it on and it's funny, but there was so much stuff in that movie I was like, I forgot how funny you are, dude. Like, you're genuinely super funny.
Were you surprised, as I was, that it's on track to be the biggest R-rated comedy of all time, though? I mean, there's one thing to be successful. It's another thing to be one of the biggest movies ever.
You're the only guy I know who wasn't surprised.
Well,
by that.
I'm not surprised because when he said, hey, we're doing a movie about a talking teddy bear, and not just a talking teddy bear, but like a magical child's, a child's magical wish that comes true, and then what happens after that? I'm like, this is brilliant. It's a brilliant idea.
Well, we knew it was going to be funny, and it was a great idea, but sometimes those ideas don't translate into box office.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, no, but it did in this
really,
kind.
He's a really smart and clever guy, and he surrounded himself with an incredibly talented team and made a great and funny movie.
He's a genius. I mean, you do take for granted how good Family Guy is.
It's annoying. Really, it's annoying because he's so handsome, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes it frustrating. It's like, oh, it's great that you're sharp and talented and can win awards and stuff.
And are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And got nominated for a Grammy for your album.
And can play sing. And can play piano by ear. No, he can actually sing in like six octaves. It's really annoying.
No, I know.
Hey, Seth Green, I was talking.
Let's wild him when we see him.
I like that.
Let's just kick his ass.
A blanket party.
I was
code red him.
I like it.
In all age. And everybody brings a pillowcase.
Exactly.
Ralph, we need to bring full back blanket party. That's awesome. I was talking bad about you behind your back before you got here, Seth, that you're never in movies anymore. And what's up with that? I know you're busy. I know you got stuff going on. But it seems like you used to be a movie actor. You used to be in a lot of movies.
You're all behind the scenes and junk now.
I got into making stuff, which is really satisfying. It's not that I don't love acting, because I actually do love acting. And it's really my first love. But
you don't act.
Well, the stuff that gets sent my way, I'm typically not interested in doing.
What do they send you? Stuff you've done before?
Well, it's hard to explain. Like, movies come to me in all different stages, you know what I mean? Like, I'll get something where they go, hey, this is a big movie with a bunch of people and you'd work for 3 days and it's this part. I'm like, I just don't need to play that part, especially not in that movie with those people in this moment.
Right.
It's things like that. Or someone will say, hey, I've got this thing. It's you playing this and it works for 8 weeks and it's here. And I'm like, I just...
What do you
that's
want?
That's not the experience.
I mean,
time.
You're a writer. Don't most writers who are actors go, I'm going to write myself the part I want to play.
I know. It's funny. I look at all of my peers from Seth Rogen to even Judd Apatow, and it's like, and I like calling them my peers, by the way. That's
sure.
arrogant. An arrogant
thing.
Sure
you do.
They wouldn't call you their peer, though. I'll
tell
you
that.
I'm
sure I wouldn't get listed in their peer group. But yeah, I do feel. It's not that I feel silly. It's just I don't know. I get turned on by different stuff. Does that make sense? I've never really liked being the thing that the movie's based around. I'm not a big fan of being like the lead.
You don't have to write yourself a lead part.
That's true. Well, we're going to make a movie at the end of the year that I'm going to direct that I'm not really talking about just because it's not the end of the year yet.
You're going to be in it or you're just going to direct?
I'm going to do, it's an ensemble and I'll do a little thing in it that's funny, but I really want to concentrate on the direction of it. I really want to concentrate on telling the story and I want to get a bunch of people together that we
all
know.
Right, I'm available. Back off, will you? Jeez.
Coming on kind of strong, isn't it, Ralph?
I've got a cameo.
Okay, all right, we'll talk. I'll star.
He said cameo.
That's
what I said, star.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that I like being a part of. I like the big ensemble stuff where, you know, like Italian Job, that's like a perfect kind of movie for me. That's exactly what I like to do.
What about the rumors of a return to one of your previous characters of Scott Evil?
Austin Powers thing. So I don't have any official news.
No, nothing?
2 years ago, somebody
They've
said
been talking
something.
About it for a while.
Well, you know, it's like the sequel to the Italian Job. I've been hearing about it for a very long time, but it's never real. And that's not to say that people aren't actively working on it. It's just to say that it hasn't gelled to the point that it's being produced. So I don't know.
Do you know what we know?
I know what you know, which is always
there might be another Italian job.
But you'd like to do
that. There might be another Italian job, which would be great. I love that entire group of people. We had so much fun
together. That was a great movie.
Thanks.
Oh, really?
We had a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah.
What's the best thing you've seen this year, Seth? Is it The Avengers? Is that your movie of the year?
I sure did love The Avengers. I loved Cabin in the Woods too. Have you guys seen Cabin in the Woods?
I didn't see that, but I wanted to badly.
It's actually It's hard to explain how great that movie is, but it's so great on so many levels.
Especially if you love genre.
Well, I don't want to overhype it because people have a tendency to do it, and then you get mad going in.
Then you get there, and it's not that great.
Yeah, but I really liked it, and I feel like it. Like with Avengers, I kept telling everybody I can't overhype this movie because it delivers.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's something that I haven't even.
Medea's Witness Protection?
There's so much stuff I haven't seen. I haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom.
That's great.
I still haven't seen Dark Knight yet. I don't know what else.
See, stars are just like us, guys. That's what I'm taking away from that.
They can't get to the movies
either. They can't
get
to the movies either. All right.
Because they're busy making stuff. That's why they're not just like us. You can't get to the movies because you can't lift your arm over your head.
Well, this year was an intense year, man. My partner Matt and I started our own animation studio with some animators who had their own smaller studio, and we just made a super team to produce Robot Chicken.
You're better than we are. We got it.
No. I'm just saying I've literally been at a desk job for the entire year. I'm getting in my office like 7:30 in the morning. Boo-hoo, I know. And then I'm leaving like 7 or 8 at night.
You're the man.
We're putting in the time to build this thing and make sure that we have oversight on it so that it actually works well.
Before we break, and I hope Seth is going to stick around for the last Showbiz Beat. You're hanging with us, right, Seth? You have to run out the door?
I always catch Ralph's Showbiz Beat.
I'm not saying this in a gay way, but Seth is pretty buff since the last time I saw him. You've been working out, dude.
You know what it is, I actually slimmed down and maintain the same exercise program that I always do. It's just we went on a trip for a couple weeks and did a ton of hiking in sweltering weather, and so I lost. I slimmed down a bit.
Right.
You're very buff. I'd like you to take your shirt off during the commercial break, okay, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. This is the strangest, this weirdest is weird thing ever.
I don't, I'm just saying.
I'm not comfortable. Beans hitting on the guests.
I don't mean it in a gay way. I'm just saying.
No, it doesn't sound
good.
Like it.
That's
I'd like to take your shirt off.
That sounds very like hetero.
And not the least bit creepy.
Uh-huh. Seth Green is here.
Have you creeped out all the women in the world now? You have to move on to the men?
He's moving on to the guys.
Actually, you look great with a beard, Ralph. Can I tell you that? Come here. Let me touch it. Ralph is here. Showbiz Beat coming up next with special guest Seth Green right after this at the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock. Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:44. Seth Green is here. We're in San Diego. We're at Comic-Con.
Oh, it's the best. The best time of the year.
And we are broadcasting from the Hard Rock Hotel Movies on Demand Lounge. Movies on Demand on cable is the best way to rent the newest and hottest Hollywood movies instantly. Who's with me?
You know,
yeah,
all
that's my favorite way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All favorite way to get movies
as
on demand.
All the agreed upon medias crumble, it will really just be about on demand programming.
Which I'm so happy with because I never have to leave my house. It's like
true.
The greatest thing ever. These movies that come out, Seth, that are also available on demand same day,
yeah,
I love them to death.
That's the future.
Here's my question about on demand, though, the phenomenon. I'm all for it, and I think it's a great method of distribution. But I have found so many things in my life, be it TV shows or music or movies or whatever, by accident. By coming across things on television that I happen to be when I'm flipping around or a radio station I'm listening to, if everything is on demand, how will I know I want to demand it if I'm not exposed to it?
There's a chip inside your computer that aggregates all the metadata of the things that you watch and like. And so as you watch those programs at the bottom of your screen, it says, you may also like this.
So it'll start suggesting things.
Is it accurate? Does that work well?
I mean, I'm shocked how freakishly accurate it is across three different platforms.
And I'll also tell you this, Ralph, that I get turned on to a lot of things just with my regular consumption of media, of reading, you know, reading websites.
But none of us can keep up with what you read.
Yeah.
It's just not possible.
You know, no one can keep up with all. There's so much
media.
It's too much. Exactly, information now. You can get it all.
But time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat now here live from San Diego. Ralph has got it. Seth Green sticking around for it. What's going on?
Oh, tragic, tragic news. It looks like we've lost another American Idol judge, people. That's two. They're dropping like flies.
Oh, what are we
going to
do?
They're dropping like people lining up for the Twilight panel.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Too soon?
I'm just saying.
There's photographs of us sitting next to each other.
I'm team crosswalk. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus.
Steven Tyler has left American Idol. He is no longer going to be a judge. Jennifer Lopez first. Now Steven Tyler. Who we left with? We got
Randy.
Randy
Jackson.
We got Randy Jackson.
I have to say, we had Steven Tyler in the Robot Chicken DC Comics special.
No, you're
really
kidding.
Singing for us.
No really? Kidding.
And I've met him in passing, but never got to hang out with him. He is so awesome.
He's a rock star, dude.
He seems like
he's
a great
bigger
dude
than a rock star because he like looks you in your eye and puts his hand on your shoulder and you feel like you're making a connection.
Yeah,
like he's really, really personable and super, super talented.
He seems enormously fun and energetic too, like a guy you want to have around. Like,
he was really
real creative.
Cool. Like we all liked him, but when he left, we were all like, Jesus, I think I might be in love with that man.
Who will take over? Well, they need judges. Looks like Adam Lambert, who used to be a contestant, is in the running for possibly being a judge.
Does he have a mainstream enough appeal, do you think, Ralph? Will people, like, he's no Jennifer Lopez or Steven Tyler in terms of bringing eyeballs to the show, right?
No, that's true. But hardcore American Idol fans certainly wouldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, that's true.
Miley Cyrus, her name's being dropped.
I hope it's being dropped from the list.
She's got a ton of experience.
She does. Katy Perry,
who I think is bigger than that show.
I do, too. I think it would be a step down, actually, for Katy Perry to do that. Nicki Minaj. She's a cartoon.
I like what she's doing.
Sure. The
censors would go crazy trying to keep up with Nicki Minaj.
That would be awesome.
And then Fergie and Will.i.am also, their names being bandied about. So.
If that means less Black Eyed Peas music, then hire them.
You guys, the Black Eyed Peas are the new Cool in the Gang. Like, I got a
feeling. I don't know how to argue that.
They actually may be the old Cool in the Gang. Replaced Celebration as the go-to, now it's a party song.
It is. Dance number at weddings.
You can't deny it.
You're right. It's true. A lot of excitement down here in San Diego for Comic-Con. People talking already about footage that they've seen, including Tim Burton's Frankenweenie. Disney unveiled that yesterday. Sam Raimi's Oz, The Great and Powerful, the prequel to The Wizard of Oz, was very popular. Lone Ranger footage was shown as well.
Can't wait.
Sony is showing footage today from a movie called Elysium, which is getting a lot of heat. It's the follow-up to District 9 by Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, I love that movie so much. And that guy
stars Matt Damon and Jodie Foster. And I am the host for that panel. So
that
sounds amazing. I will give you guys an update.
Very cool.
I've seen the footage and it looks ridiculous.
Let me see the sizzle reel.
It's insane. It's like the natural sort of heir apparent to Blade Runner. It's that sort of vision of the future. It's so bleak and dystopic. So it should be good stuff.
Can't wait.
We were just talking about Twilight inappropriately, and they had their panel yesterday. 28 of the cast members from the final 28 from the final Twilight movie were on stage.
28.
I had no idea there were that many faces in that movie.
How many people do the fans really care about, though? It's just top.
Well, it's family. There's
six?
Like a family of vampires,
right? That's right.
The
Cullens and the and the Wolfies.
Have you seen those, Seth? The Twilight movies.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think they're fun. I mean, it's definitely more of like a teen romance thing than I tend to go for. But I like all that kind of mythology. So.
And the Expendables 2 panel was Sylvester Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Dolph Lundgren, Randy Couture, Terry Crews. And Schwarzenegger took it upon himself to announce that it is official. The twin sequel, entitled Triplets, is in the works and will be happening.
And we can't stop that.
Can't that be stopped.
Why would you want to stop that?
Eddie Murphy apparently will be playing the third triplet.
That's not true.
It is true.
Are you kidding? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, and Eddie Murphy
as triplets.
In a twin sequel?
As triplets, as identical triplets.
I mean, I'm going to go see that.
Stop it.
But for the wrong reasons.
I actually love Eddie Murphy. I like super love Eddie Murphy, and
but you don't love him with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't know. I loved Twins, so I'd be really curious to see what that is.
But I loved Eddie Murphy before he had to play every role, and he was doing all that Dr. Dolittle stuff
for the fat suits.
You know what I mean? Yeah, before the fat suits.
You know, every actor has a passion they've got to pursue, guys.
Sure,
but he also what was the not
Tower Heist?
Tower Heist?
No, not Tower Heist. The thing that he was nominated for.
Dreamgirls?
Dreamgirls.
Yeah, he was great in Dreamgirls.
Eddie Murphy, like, people forget what a talent he is.
Bowfinger. I thought it was a brilliant performance he gave.
I loved him in Bowfinger, yeah. I actually thought, and this isn't going to be popular, but, you know, he should have been nominated for the original Nutty Professor just as an actor. Like, that performance was insane.
A lot of people said that. Yeah, a lot of people said
before
that.
Before we got bored with the shtick of him putting on fat suits, to see him play that many characters that well,
and to convincingly define each one of those characters so specifically. Like, he's a terrific actor.
I still don't want to see triplets, though.
I do.
And 20th Century Fox has announced they are already rebooting the Fantastic Four movies.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not either.
Although I really hope they can get Chris Evans back to play Human Torch because he was great.
He was great.
He was great.
And I thought Chiklis was a good Ben Grimm, too.
They need a better movie. Yeah, like, Fantastic Four deserves a better movie than
I
that.
I agree. So Fox has announced they are working on that. They've got a director, and they're working on the script now. So there's all your Comic-Con update news. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart. Still in keeping with the Comic-Con flavor. He, of course, Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship.
Who's your favorite captain, Seth?
I actually love Picard.
Really? He's your man. All right.
I do. Well, I grew up watching TNG, so that was my show.
I'm a Kirk guy. I'm TOS all the way. Harrison Ford is 70 years old today. Han Solo is 70.
Comic-Con, dude.
And no one's looking at us twice. We're in our world. Cheech of Cheech and Chong is 66. Cameron Crowe is 55 years old. Tom Kenny, one of the great voice actors who does SpongeBob SquarePants and a ton of other
A truly brilliant performer.
He is truly brilliant. He is 50 years old today. Will Champion, drummer for Coldplay, turns 34. And Erno Rubik. That's right. He gave us his cube. The Rubik's Cube inventor. He is 68 years old.
Hate that guy.
And because of that cube, Will Smith got a job. You guys didn't see Pursuit of Happiness. No.
That's right. I did. I blocked it out, though.
Wow.
Now it's all coming back.
It took a minute. But
very, very timely reference, though, Seth. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I'm Rob Garman.
I'm
going to
make a Sully Sullenberg next.
Monday, we got an all-new Kevin and Bean show for you. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Also, live music from Alex Clare and more of our adventures in San Diego this weekend for Comic-Con.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. Another sin. But
just prancing around.
Maybe not drop the $50 mics, okay, guys?
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
This is the part where most people would say something crazy and drop the N-word after it. Not going to. Not gonna do that. I don't feel comfortable. I'm out.
That's pitiful. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful to perform like that. Pitiful.